800-800-3600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Travelers are tired of the delays at the airports, due in part to those furloughed air traffic controllers, and now Congress is doing something about it. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Is it a coincidence? The House is voting on the measure to end furloughs of air traffic controllers just before House members are going to face delays on planes to get home for a recess. The bill allows the FAA to shift unused money from a fund for airport improvements. Hey, we're keeping flight controllers on the job.
Senate's already at least planning to keep controllers
back to work. Well, I picked up the paper this morning.
Marathon, but if you were pulling far with the suspect front, we never known it.
The Boston Globe compares the scene in a Quentin Tarantino film unfolded in the stolen Mercedes. Carjacking victims told the paper the Tsarnaev brothers talked about the car's performance, girls, iPhone, and whether anybody listens to CDs anymore. Interspersed with these seemingly casual conversations, the threat against the victim and a spontaneous talk to detonate remaining explosives in Times Square. This morning, Zohar Tsarnaev was transferred from a hospital to a federal prison west of Boston.
George Jones had a career that spanned decades. Like this one, he also had fans calling the Nashville to a fan concert to counsel an Elvis Costello. Another sign that the economy is
strong. The annual growth rate for the first quarter was 2.5%, much stronger than during the previous 3 months. That gain came from a jump in consumer spending, which came off with a positive tariff. Many households spent more on rising gas prices and heating bills during the cold winter. Home construction rose, so did business spending. The U.S. economy has been growing for 15 straight quarters, almost 4 years. Richard Davis, ABC News.
Dow is down 5.6.
His hair was falling out in clumps. He stopped eating and all his hair fell out. Pounds and pounds of fur all over the place. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our golden retriever, a man, scratched and said there was hair all over. I heard a radio advertisement for Dynamite.
D-I-N-O-P-I-T-E.com. 8-1-7-E-Omega-3 fatty acids. They use flaxseed oil. The digestive enzymes that are hooked out of regular dogs.
Within 2 weeks, shedding the bone down to almost one, scratching went away after a few days. And then was starting to shine. Way ahead of the
puppy. No more bad.
Your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching. Phone number for Dynamite
559-428. 859-428-1000.
A deadly explosion at a thermal plant in the town of West Texas last week. 15 people killed, more than 200 hurt. Now the town is
healed. Walking to a convenience store for a fast food restaurant in this town, and you're likely to see the walk.
He had me on antibiotics, pain medicine, and all other kind of things. I just got really cut in the face.
Lindsay Martinez worked in a nursing home destroyed by the plant explosion, and while some of her injuries are hospital, others cannot be seen.
Not being able to sleep, not being by myself.
And then there are the nightmares about the explosion that killed 15 of her neighbors. He fears that her emotional injuries may outlast the cause of the Jim Ryan, ABC News, West Texas.
Another loser in New York. Oh, yeah.
Financial report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Ruschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial market. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Not enough to celebrate a government adjustment.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company with this revolutionary vending machine is with healthy snacks and done it again with the world's only combination of gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending. These brightly colored high-tech dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Yogurt and organic espresso coffee is 100% future. Smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brands helping an organic stand. Consumers demand these kinds of companies, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business to move. Fresh Healthy Radio secure email location for you to use on your behalf. Call now, 800-424-8282. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-424-8282. 800-424-8282.
Dark 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Father Angie, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon, New Stock 600.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
From a liberty, Bible, Christianity to advance, their progressive ends, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's a show. Yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
So much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody, have a seat. Have a seat. You're making me blush.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff in the air chair on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends at WSOM 600 AM, and we have our president before Planned Parenthood, and they gave him a rousing round of applause because he supports the killing of unborn children across the world. And it's a huge industry, billions of dollars wrapped up in that. And they were just loving it. But I already have a caller in the air, and I want to see what they have to say because I'm a little fed up with a lot of things. And I have the rest of the day to vent, so I'm going to bring the caller on. Caller, you are in the air, 773.
Yeah, I see his open mic. I just wanted
hey,
to
say, what's up, Chicago?
Hey, what's going on, Jeff? I just want to say I'm very disappointed in my Chicago Bears, man, drafting a guard in the first round when you had Manteo, middle linebacker. They could have got, or they could have got Geno Smith, the backup cutler, or even a speed receiver for kickoff returns that could complement Hester. So, you know, it was a waste of draft pick. So I'm very upset about that. I'm still trying
his
to get
cousin
over
lives here.
What's the name losing to Alabama, so.
his cousin I grew up with, Hester's cousin. He was right here in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah, he's one heck of a player. I hope he retires as a Bear. But you know, knowing the McCaskies, they end up trading him or something. So, they always get rid of good players.
That's what they all do, that's what they all do. They trade them these people off, and I guess it's in an effort to more or less save money, and so they have more of a bottom line. I don't know what it is. I just know the Browns are. That's my team. I love them. I'll never be a Pittsburgh fan, just like I'll never be a Democrat. But let me tell you, this stuff is ridiculous. How they're doing some of the things. I think that we picked up a quarterback, though, that I wanted because this guy can run and gun. He can do it all, and that's what they've been needing. They just would never put the people in that would do it. And I don't understand Cleveland. You know, I worked with my main office being out of Cleveland in the agency I worked for. And I'll tell you this, that city is one of the most racist cities in the world. Now, I don't know how it is in Chicago. I think you might be more of a melting pot in Chicago. I'm not sure. But you know, so you can tell me. Oh, you know, you disappeared that quickly after you got upset with the people for getting things done. Well, that's okay. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair, Chicago. You know, you can call back at any time. The sports thing, I hope that everybody's team seemed to get who they wanted to get in the draft. So we have to see what happens after that to these teams and how they shape up this year. I never can wait till football season. I go into a depression every week after the Super Bowl. 2 months of depression until I start seeing, you know, the end of the basketball season, and I start, well, this year and last year. I'm a Heat fan, Miami Heat fan. I know that living in Northeast Ohio, there's not too many of us that still like LeBron James, but I'm one that absolutely loves LeBron James. I think that he's one of the greatest players of all time. And I think that you'll see him develop into being a monster in the game, just like Kobe developed. Just like Michael did. Now, I don't think he is Michael Jordan, but I think that he definitely can be on the same page with Michael Jordan and not be ashamed. Michael Jordan was a one-of-a-kind. Kobe Bryant is a one-of-a-kind as well. I'm not really, how should I say, I'm not really happy with Kobe's bedside manner, because I think that he's a dirty player. I think he's a crybaby. But, hey, that's my opinion. And, you know, that's my opinion of that. So you give me a call and cuss me out if you want. 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. But we'll see, because we certainly haven't had a winner in our area for a long time. And so I'm looking forward to maybe having a good season this year, at least a better than 50% season with some of the weapons that they just picked up, I mean, that they've done over the last couple of years. So I think that we should be able to get some things going and see what's going on, and hope that we get a good game this year. But anyway, let's getting back to the clip that I played early, President Obama at the Planned Parenthood organization, and they are just so happy with him because he's been able to bolster Planned Parenthood's agenda. Now, this is what gets me. The people that it hurts the most are clamoring for it the most as well. It hurts African Americans more than anything else. It hurts the United States economy. You already don't have enough people to pay for the baby boomers because you killed off a whole lot of people since 1970, 72, whatever year it was. I heard a minister of some sort say that he believes that the person that really was supposed to be elected president in 2012 here was, or 11, was aborted in 1971 or 72. I can't remember exactly the quote. I can't tell you that that's something that's real or anything like that. I'm just saying. What if he's right? What if God really did tell him that, and that's the way that abortion works? We wipe out those delivers that were supposed to come. In biblical stories, that's what happened. And every time that a deliver of Israel was supposed to come, the leader started killing babies. Well, we've been killing babies since 1970, when Roe v. Wade was passed. The president thinks we want to take this back to 1950. No, sir, we just want to take him back to 1965, 70. Okay? When you just can't willy-nilly go get an abortion because you don't feel like being bothered. And it's a woman's right. Well, I agree that a woman has a right to choose, but she has a right to not create another body inside of herself before she's responsible to destroy that body, because that body does not belong to hers. It doesn't even have her blood. It only has the father's blood. So, no, we're not buying that one. You can say, you can get all the scientists and come up with this. It's a woman's right to choose. It's her body. It is her body. Yes. Don't get pregnant. We have too many things to stop you from getting pregnant. All of this stuff is crazy, but we talk about this all the time. So I'm not gonna belabor that point. I'm just gonna I'm gonna throw that out there for you, and you can take it, as a grain of salt, with the grain of salt, whatever you want to do, and we'll go from there. At 334, if you want to talk, you just hit that number one on there, and I know you want to get on. But that's one thing. We have found out that there's going to be another war probably getting ready to start. We're probably getting ready to go over to Syria. That's going to be a very serious situation. Syria is bombing its own people, and it is now launching chemical weapons, which the president said that would be a red line in the sand. Now, the red line was drawn yesterday or a couple days ago, where they got the proof of it. Even Kerry himself is walking around with an affidavit, a piece of paper, saying, yes, they have released chemical weapons. But, of course, no, these aren't the chemical weapons that came out of Iraq. Oh, no, those didn't exist. 334, you're in there.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
If you're Al-Qaeda, right?
Or
Al-Qaeda,
yeah,
however they want to pronounce it, and mm-hmm. you know that you're fighting a war, and technically you are trying to win people's hearts and minds within Syria, and you know that if you release weapons on people indiscriminately in an asymmetrical war, why would you do that? Does that make any sense? Why would Al-Qaeda, if Syria, why would they do that? Does that make any sense?
Slightly.
Hey, let's bring America in. Let's bring America in. I'm saying that. I'm asking a rhetorical question because it's a great question. No, I think we're using them to go in there. That's what I really believe. So go ahead.
Just like we did to go into Iraq.
We're using. That's what I'm saying. I feel like we're using Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's funded. Oh, well, that was a long time ago. But then we see other stories that go under the radar about them actually being funded by the government. With Libya, they used Libya to pop up, to go into Libya for this. They wanted to do that. They're mm-hmm. using Al-Qaeda. I think Benghazi was tied to that. So I think that's the thing that kind of gets me. That part of it is left out as far as what he was doing in Benghazi. What was he doing? Who was he dealing with? You know, those questions, you'll start, it'll go right back to not just the White House, but to the federal government, period. CIA.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
So
I
can't just scream this terrorist boogeyman every time they, you know, tell us to. It's like it's getting old now. I mean, at first I was with it, let's get them. But then I started looking at it. And even with Chechnya, this whole situation with Boston, one of those guys, they said, hey, is this guy one of yours? They asked a couple of years, some years back, a month, I can't remember, before the bombing, they asked. They outed him, basically, the Russians did. So it's kind of, it's very interesting that, you know, it just seems to be a situation, because they were saying, even the Russians are saying, we're using Al-Qaeda with the Chechens to try to destabilize the government and stuff, with Russia. So I find that, I find stuff a little funny, that's all. It's just, because we're not playing with all the ducks on the table, so we really don't know what's really going on.
I don't disagree with you one iota that there's something strange going on and that we've had these things go on for several administrations from Reagan up through now. And not to cast aspersions, but it is what it is.
Why is it that they've gotten us, they've kind of added to the Republican Party, you know, strong defense, and yet, you know, we're all about pushing for a military to be occupying all these other, you know, we got hundreds of bases all over the world, 35 in Africa.
Oh, yeah. Look, I got 10 seconds before break, but we'll talk about that on the other side. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back. Alabama, hold on. We'll be with you.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. Here talking to you about what's on our mind and let you call in and voice your view and let us know what you're thinking. Forgive me, I have a cold, and I hate it, but I am really stuffed up here, and just all of you all that know to pray for me so that I can get through this day and get it done. But you have a lot of dissent happening right now from supporters of the left here in America that aren't so far left when it comes to goring their ox. See, everybody kind of likes the ox gore until that ox gore gores your ox. And here, one of the new Black Panther leaders here, I believe he's Muslim, and there's two sects of Muslims here in America. Of course, there's the American Muslim Association, which is, you know, just regular Middle Eastern, Far Eastern Muslims. Then you have the Black Muslims here in America, which are more of a political sect of Islam, and they believe a little bit differently. So the mainstream Muslims don't hold credence to them because they say that it's impossible for Elijah Muhammad, who is the head of the American Black Muslim, to have been a prophet. That if he was a prophet, that means Allah would have come back already and brought the world to its knees and bowed down in submission to him in Islam, which is what Islam means, submission to God. So when Gaddafi was overthrown, Gaddafi was a good friend of the Black Muslim leader here in America, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Now, if he was getting money from him, he's not getting it anymore. I don't know whether he left money in a deposit somewhere where Louis Farrakhan could get to it at all, but I know at one time he had vowed to give Louis Farrakhan $10 million for the development of businesses and the Black community in America, which is a significant amount of money if you have it, you know, at your fingertips and you even had it somewhere and letting it grow in interest. But they're upset with him, really upset that he allowed some things to happen. So I want you to listen to what the Black Muslims are saying, at least right now, about what they think should happen with the president
Business Ready News Review,
the podcast.
And now,
America's independent voice, Rob Ready.
I told you Malik Zulu Shabazz, he's coming to town. He will be in Atlanta tomorrow at the Clark Atlanta University Center, and he will be at Georgia State. I'm understanding we finally have tracked him down. Mr. Shabazz, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Fine. Just want to make sure I'm coming through loud and clear. How are you doing, sir?
It's great and wonderful to hear your voice. We hear you loud and clear, sir.
All right. Well, let's talk black.
Let's do it. Well, tell me what's going on. Why are you coming to town?
I'm coming to town to Atlanta to talk to the black students at Clark University on Thursday at 3 o'clock and at Clark at Georgia State University on Friday at 3 o'clock. Brother, I'm coming to talk to the black students on the subject of the role and responsibility of the black college student in a dynamic and changing world. And I've just come back from my world tour over in South Africa and Zimbabwe, and I have a lot to share with the college students at a critical time.
Speaking of that, you are visiting Africa for the first time.
Yes, I went home to the motherland for the first time. But it wasn't just a tour or a tourist mission. It was a political mission, a diplomatic mission, even a revolutionary mission, if you will. And I have a lot to share about that at Clark University tomorrow, about what's happening in Africa and how our efforts and attention should be on Africa. Everybody's in Africa, Chinese in Africa, European in Africa, white man from America in Africa. But we, especially the intelligentsia, those who have degrees and ability amongst us, we need to be focused on Africa.
Speaking of Africa, Benghazi, the report just came out, and it implicates the State Department says that Hillary Clinton has blood all over her dress on this thing. You are very familiar with Gaddafi and what's happened in Libya. Do you think that the State Department has some culpability here in what's going on?
I think when you talk about the culpability for the U.S. ambassador and his whether or not the State Department or the U.S. government was negligent in his death, I think that's the microchip or the minor case. The macrochip or the major case is the U.S. State Department, Hillary Clinton, and the U.S. government culpable in the murder and the assassination of a head of state, Muammar Gaddafi. That's the question that's not really being raised. The outrage because American ambassador was killed in Benghazi. Where is the outrage of the outright murder and the assassination of a head of state? And then we get down to the chickens coming home to roost with the ambassador being drugged through the streets. And so we have to address the moral issue, the first issue of the illegal assassination and bombing of our brother Muammar Gaddafi, who was a loved Pan-Africanist, and the culpability of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in this illegal murder and assassination. I would say to you respectfully that they are war criminals.
Because of the assassination of Gaddafi, the president and former senator and now Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Your question?
You're saying that they are war criminals.
They are war criminals. They have illegally and against United Nations law and international law attacked a sovereign state on false pretenses and killed and assassinated our brother in the streets and drug him through the streets. And they are war criminals. There's just no court in the world that can bring them to justice as of the moment. And certainly the ambassador is a victim of the negligence. If you're going to assassinate the leader of a government, if you're going to create chaos in that country, if you know for a fact and have full advanced knowledge and forewarning that militias are on the loose in the nation, that there's no security in the nation, and that you yourself, Hillary Clinton and the U.S. government, are behind the instability in the country, then you better be protecting your ambassador with everything you got. Why was he in Benghazi? Why not Tripoli if he is the ambassador? Why wasn't he in the capital? He's in Benghazi because Tripoli was unstable. They thought he could be protected in the home base of the so-called rebels, these stool pigeons, and he wasn't even safe in Benghazi. So there's negligence written all over this thing. But there's negligence all over it, but it's bigger than negligence. It's criminal intent.
Wow.
It starts from the head of the U.S. government.
Barack Obama, that's President of the United States.
And that's a sad case. It hurts our feelings, but it's the truth.
All right.
You've been listening to Radio News.
And I'm back. What did you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Anybody that actually heard that, that was a leader of the new black, one of the leaders of the new Black Panther Party. And not that I give credence to the new Black Panther Party, but listen to what they're saying. I never deny a message because I don't like the source of the message. I can't deny a message or a messenger because I don't like the message or I don't like the messenger. I don't like who did it. I'm looking at this play out with the lady whose sons were killed, Sarnaev, the mother of the Sarnaev boys. And I'm watching the Arab Spring having been produced by the United States government. Oh, there's no doubt about it. 716, if you want to talk, just hit the one on your phone. No doubt about it that that's what's going on. But the bottom line is, it does not matter if we're not holding people responsible for what they're doing. Now, we ridiculed and slammed George Bush for all the years because Clinton started an initiative for regime change in Iraq, and George Bush, or W, carried it out. It escalated up to, it got to war because he ignored the warnings from the United Nations and the United States and all the other countries that were telling him to reveal his what he had. Now, I contended before that these things went over into Syria. And sure enough, the very same gas that Saddam Hussein had and stockpiled is being used on Syria's own people right now. So I want you to wake up. Give me a call, 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. Tell me what that means to you, if that means to you what the gentleman was saying. You may not go for it, which is fine. I can't, you know, I'm not going to dog you for not necessarily taking it. I understand that. But look at all the dynamics that are happening right now. What are we doing about it here in the United States? The people that carried out these bombings, well, now they were going to go and they were going to go to New York and bomb folks. Okay. Then why did you let him talk for 24 hours, then send in a judge? And this had to come from Mr. Holder's office and at his command, and read the young man his rights. When they're not required to read him his rights, Mirandize him, as they say, up under Homeland Security, they could have let him continue to talk till he implicated everybody that needed to be implicated so we could save the lives of more Americans. Because if there's somebody else involved in this other than them, we need to know it. You need to know it. I don't know where my liberal friends are today, but I want them to give me a call. Tell me I'm crazy. Tell me, Jeff, you're wrong. You know, you're putting all this on the president. No, listen. Look at what's being done. In spite of the president, the area I live in is starting to have an economic boom because of energy. We still can't get the Keystone Pipeline. Why? Because we have the president paying back Mr. Warren Buffett for him to being one of the only ways that oil gets out of the from Canada into the down to the coast is that it be loaded on to Mr. Buffett's trains and taken to the different places to be refined. I want to really, really ask you the question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what I'm saying is true, or do you think I'm lying, crazy, or just running
my
mouth?
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Be right back.
A Youngstown man who spent a quarter century in prison for a 1986 murder is facing a new charge for allegedly attacking a 21-year-old mother last week. 57-year-old James Gooden was indicted yesterday on two counts of kidnapping. Gooden is labeled as a sexual predator. Police in Boardman say they've made two arrests in connection with thefts of cell phones and a credit card at the town's YMCA. 19-year-old Daniel Watkins of Boardman and 18-year-old Robert Seaman of Canfield are accused of taking things that were not locked up. And a state law that takes effect today requires coaches, volunteers, and officials in youth sports organizations to have players who show concussion-like symptoms sit out games or practices until they've been checked and cleared by a doctor or licensed healthcare provider. The law also requires that coaches know more about concussions and how to spot warning signs. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
At News Talk 600, business is good, and we're growing again. We're looking for a new sales representative to join our team. If your current job has limited potential, then you need to schedule a personal interview today. Here's what some of our representatives have to say about a selling career in radio.
I love my job. I'm great at what I do because I believe in my product. We have the top-rated radio stations in the market, and I'm proud to introduce those radio stations to my clients.
I love going out and talking to new people, being able to create new ideas for them. Just so much fun to be part of that, knowing that I was an asset to their business.
Working in radio is a blast. We get to be a part of community events, work on creative campaigns for my clients. I believe in my product.
Send your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios. In head-to-head competition with Toyota, Ford had better fuel economy in every segment. Stop in now at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and get a Fusion with 0% financing for 60 months.
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns, include short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Hermes, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229.
Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair, WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, 600 WSOM AM on iHeartRadio, and at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We're here trying to talk to you about what's on your mind and want you to come in and voice your view. 1-347-945-5229 or locally here, 330-781-9600. Now, I'd like to know, you know, this is open mic, so you call in and talk about whatever you want to, but I'm just rambling here, you know, and we're going from subject to subject. And did anybody else look at the situation at the library yesterday with the presidents all being there at the same time? The respect that's taken to certain symbols that are, you know, that you love as a patriot, patriotic symbol. Did you see that some people weren't very patriotic? They didn't hold their hand over their heart at the, you know, the national anthem, these things, et cetera, et cetera. Which I don't understand. If you hate what the United States stands for, you shouldn't want to serve in it, and you should be trying to find your way out. You don't see anybody trying to find their way out. That's the problem. You don't see anybody trying to find their way out. They're all trying to get in. And they're trying to get in. What are they trying to do when they get in? Take something over? Make you do what they want you to do versus coming in here and assimilate and get with the program. I'm not with this, people. I don't know why you are. And if you say that you're not, if you don't complain, you're with it. You're with it. We got into a discussion the other day about Islam, and I don't want to get into slamming or killing the Islamic people, especially those in the United States that I've come to know, that I know is good, fine, loving, caring, concerned people. People that are concerned about a lot of the people in the neighborhoods that they're surrounded by. And I don't, you know, we don't, you know, I don't want to condemn them because they don't deserve to be condemned. But what needs to be made sure of is there has to be a difference made between insensitive and situation where you have the radicals versus the moderate want to live people. Whether you be Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Shinto, whatever, you need to not be aggressive to the point where you're going to try to make me believe in your religion. Make me bow down to what you believe. I don't believe what you believe. I'm not going to believe what you're going to, what you believe. So, yes, you would be trying to cut my head off because that's what your scripture says. And listen, don't get twisted. You'll hear people tell you all day long that, you know, that No. You can find scriptures that say to kill people in the Bible. No, you can't. Not the same. Not telling you that you go out in all the world threatening people to bow down to Jesus. No, he doesn't want you to be threatened to bow down to him. He wants you to come as you are and come willingly. But we're going to leave that alone because that, once again, you know, that's getting into the microcosm of things. But here it is. We sit up here and we play these political games. We play with people's lives. We lie to people about what our intents are. We lie to people about what's going on. I'm trying to find the statistic of the bullets that Homeland Security has over the United States citizen. And it's crazy and ridiculous. The drone program is coming. That's ridiculous. You have all of these things that we're dealing with here. And we have a lot of our people that are asleep at the wheel. They think that life is going on as usual. They don't care what's going to happen with health care. They think, and I say that again, they think that it's not going to affect them, which couldn't be further from the truth. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? No, I don't like the left. Here's the thing. On a local level, we have Republicans and Democrats, Green Party, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we have those factions in our society here. They don't affect you like it does when people go to you're in Washington, D.C., and you're making decisions from there. So Bill Johnson and I can't think of his name. Why I can't? Tim Ryan, Caprica Fair. Well, not Capri, but those two in our areas. They have to do with our lives. They make decisions that are going to directly affect our lives. We had the sequester at, you know, that the vote. Nobody came to any agreement, so they made these cuts. The president, for political purposes and trying to get his way, is allowing the cuts to affect the people without changing them so that, you know, things can keep going on as they need to go on, just like these air traffic controllers. Well, they just voted to make sure that the air traffic controllers don't get taken off the job. I think they have one more week where they might be, but after that, the head of the air traffic controllers can take money from improvement projects and keep people on the job in those towers. It never should have been there. And why would the president play politics like that? He doesn't care what happens to you. But to get his way, he's going to make it uncomfortable for you so you can somewhat call and protest against your conservative ruler, and then the conservatives look bad. Oh, those no good conservatives, they're not here to do anything but to get in the way. They're the party of no. That's stupidity. People, listen, I'm sorry. If somebody's saying no, they're saying no for a reason. We tried to say no to health care, and now a lot of you are seeing the reason for that. I would agree. I hope you agree. A lot of you are seeing the reason for that. So now, when these bills come through, just like the first Sandy bill that came through. The first Sandy bill was loaded with pork by the Democrats. They loaded that bill up with all kind of crazy stuff that they wanted. But now when we tried to put the XL pipeline in one of those bills, all the left in the news media points it out. But they don't say a doggone thing about the left loading up with these sweetheart projects for their districts on a bill that's supposed to help people immediately that have had a disaster in their lives. That's why the Republicans are saying no. I don't know why they don't explain this to you like this, because that's what it is. They need to explain themselves, but they don't. That's where their folly is. You have to defend what you say and what you do when you're in the public eye, when you're representing the public. You should not be given a pass. I don't care who you are. But we give each other passes all the time. I don't know why. I would have welcomed somebody to call me and tell me, am I crazy? Am I wrong for what I'm saying? And I want to understand that that's the case. I really would like to understand that. But that's neither here nor there. When we come up next hour, we're gonna bring up a couple of the quotes of the week and statements and things that people have said. And I want you to listen and see what you think. I listened to the president speak down at the site of the chemical plant explosion down in Texas. And I was telling my wife, I was really surprised because all these places that things are happening, I've been years ago. I was stationed in Texas. I used to drive back and forth past that plant area 2-3 times a month. In Boston, I used to go down to Boston for 9 months. I used to go down to Boston right there, right by the campuses and things down there in there to the jazz clubs down there in Boston where they blew people up at the end of the line. My daughter was just on Times Square about a month and a half ago. Had their trip been scheduled for now, these idiots would have been there threatening her and her life. So no, I'm not for you disarming me, government. I'm not for you taking my guns and my right to have more than 7 bullets in a clip. When you can't stop 2 boys from blowing up people's legs off and killing little kids at a marathon run, I'm really not with you. So I want my rights. I want to be able to protect myself as well as protect those that want me to help protect them until the authorities get there. No, Mr. President, I don't want to give you a civilian police force that's as strong as the Army. I want to continue to be that force and protect myself. You shouldn't be afraid of me unless you intend to impose something upon me. And if that's the case, I'm not going to willingly let you. Not at all. So anyway, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. I'll be back after these quick messages.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right now. That's
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.traceyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. This is a time when abortion laws are changing in many states, and the debate over reproductive rights is hotly contested. President Obama took on the topic in a speech today to a Planned Parenthood conference. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
Restrictive abortion laws have been under recent debate in Mississippi, Alabama, and in North Dakota, where abortions will be banned a few weeks into pregnancy when the fetal heartbeat is detectable. President Obama greeted a conference for Planned Parenthood underway here in Washington, praising their work in support of a woman's right to choose abortion.
No politician should get to decide what's best for you.
Planned Parenthood supports Obamacare reforms taking effect this year. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
After a week of complaints and flyers, Congress took action.
Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended. The bill is passed. And without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
The House voted today to allow the FAA to put furloughed air traffic controllers back to work. The Senate approved a deal last night. Many of those lawmakers, by the way, will be on planes in the coming days as their recess begins. Lawmakers in both parties say President Obama's warning against Syria's use of chemical weapons may now force the administration to act. The White House acknowledged yesterday the Syrian government has twice used those weapons in the two-year civil war. A legendary voice in country music has been silent. George Jones died today. He was considered one of the greatest singers in the genre. John Rich of the duo Big and Rich.
Any country artist that's come on the scene in the past 30 years will tell you there's George Jones' DNA in their music. It's in their head. It's the standard to which you hold yourself to as a country artist if you're a true country artist.
George Jones, who had fans as diverse as Frank Sinatra and Pete Townsend, was 81. The Dow is up 3 points, the NASDAQ down 18. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
With all due respect to our parent company, Walt Disney, a new poll suggests that somewhere else is actually the happiest place on Earth. In a survey that puts the O in Hawaii 5-0, the Aloha State was rated the most stress-free in the nation for the fifth straight year. The latest Gallup Well-Being Index found Hawaii and Utah residents consistently reporting the least stress and the most enjoyment. However, on the other side of the spectrum,
Luna, Kentucky.
West Virginia and Kentucky were ranked the most stressed out. Generally, people in the Northeast and South reported the most stress and least enjoyment, along with Ohio, while the Midwest and West were having more fun and less stress. Karen Chase, ABC News. A portrait of a legendary British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, will be featured on Britain's new £5 note. The Bank of England's governor made the announcement today at Chartwell, Churchill's former home, surrounded by members of the late leader's family. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Are any of these symptoms familiar?
Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets.
That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
He wakes up, sniffs around.
Okay, admit it. You started to sing the song. And you may have downloaded the ringtone. But the real fun begins when you go to sweetjack.com and sign up. It's free, easy, and in seconds you can join the 2 million people who love Sweet Jack. The Sweet Jack team finds the hottest local deals exclusively for Sweet Jack members. Your favorite restaurants, shops, and salons all partner with Sweet Jack to bring you great experiences at great prices. Sign up today and get an extra 10% off.
Sweetjack.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Oh, and we're back once again. How many people got a chance to watch the dedication of the Bush Library yesterday? I wanted to let you hear a little bit of the president and then of George Bush himself when they dedicated this yesterday. I want to do a little side-by-side so that we can see what the difference in the two leadership styles is. So right now I'm going to play some of George Bush's speech to or President Obama's speech to the situation of dedicating the Bush Library yesterday afternoon. As soon as I can get rid of the advertisement that comes up. 330-781-9600.
Our schools in ways that help every child learn, not just some. We have to repair a broken immigration system. And that this progress is only possible when we do it together. Now, 7 years ago, President Bush restarted an important conversation by speaking with the American people about our history as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And even though comprehensive immigration has taken a little longer than any of us expected, I am hopeful that this year, with the help of Speaker Boehner and some of the senators and members of Congress who are here today, that we bring it home for our families and our economy and our security and for this incredible country that we love. And if we do that, it will be in large part thanks to the hard work of President George W. Bush.
Now, President Bush is sitting there looking like a deer in the headlight because he's saying, why are you talking about, you know, this when we're dedicating the library? I don't know, but let's hear some more of
ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
President
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. To President Mrs. Bush, to President Clinton, and now former Secretary Clinton, to President George H.W. Bush and Mrs. Bush, to President and Mrs. Carter, to current and former world leaders, and all the distinguished guests here today, Michelle and I are honored to be with you to mark this historic occasion. This is a Texas-sized party, and that's worthy of what we're here to do today: honor the life and legacy of the 43rd President of the United States, George W. Bush. When all the living former presidents are together, it's also a special day for our democracy. We've been called the world's most exclusive club, and we do have a pretty nice clubhouse. But the truth is, our club's more like a support group. The last time we all got together was just before I took office, and I needed that because, as each of these leaders will tell you, no matter how much you may think you're ready to assume the office of the presidency, it's impossible to truly understand the nature of until you're sitting at that desk. And that's why every president gains a greater appreciation for all of those who served before them, for the leaders from both parties who've taken on the momentous challenges and felt the enormous weight of a nation on their shoulders. And for me, that appreciation very much extends to President Bush. Now, the first thing I found in that desk the day I took office was a letter from George, and one that demonstrated his compassion and his generosity. For he knew that I would come to learn what he had learned, that being president, above all, is a humbling job. There are moments where you make mistakes. There are times where you wish you could turn back the clock. And what I know is true about President Bush, and I hope my successor will say about me, is that we love this country and we do our best. Now, in the past, President Bush has said it's impossible to pass judgment on his presidency while he's still alive, so maybe this is a little bit premature, but even now there are certain things that we know for certain. We know about the son who was raised by two strong, loving parents in Midland, famously inheriting, as he says, my daddy's eyes and my mother's mouth. The young boy who once came home after a trip to a museum and proudly presented his horrified mother with a small dinosaur tailbone he had smuggled home in his pocket. I'll bet that went over great with Barbara. We know about the young man who met the love of his life at a dinner party, ditching his plans to go to bed early and instead talking with the brilliant and charming Laura Welsh late into the night. We know about the father who raised two remarkable, caring, beautiful daughters, even after they tried to discourage him from running for president, saying, Dad, you're not as cool as you think you are. Mr. President, I can relate. And now we see President Bush, the grandfather, just beginning to spoil his brand new granddaughter. So we know President Bush, the man, and what President Clinton said is absolutely true. To know the man is to like the man, because he's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He doesn't put on any pretenses. He takes his job seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. He is a good man. But we also know something about George Bush, the leader. As we walk through this library, obviously we're reminded of the incredible strength and resolve that came through that bullhorn as he stood amid the rubble and the ruins of Ground Zero, promising to deliver justice to those who had sought to destroy our way of life. We remember the compassion that he showed by leading the global fight against HIV/AIDS and malaria, helping to save millions of lives, and reminding people in some of the poorest corners of the globe that America cares and that we're here to help. We remember his commitment to reaching across the aisle to unlikely allies like Ted Kennedy, because he believed that we had to reform our schools in ways that help every child learn, not just some. That we have to repair a broken immigration system. And that this progress is only possible when we do it together. You know, 7 years ago, President Bush restarted an important conversation by speaking with the American people about our history as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And even though comprehensive immigration reform has taken a little longer than any of us expected, I am hopeful that this year, with the help of Speaker Boehner and some of the senators and members of Congress who are here today, that we bring it home for our families and our economy and our security and for this incredible country that we love. And if we do that, it will be in large part thanks to the hard work of President George W. Bush.
Okay. Well, we heard that part of it again already, so we're not going to repeat that or belabor that point. We're getting ready to do the immigration reform. And what I think that the left means by immigration reform is, I think they mean amnesty, period. And I just want to let some people know that that's going to have a heck of an impact, on our society. It's going to have an impact on the black community, the any minority community that is here now already legally. It's going to be crushing, because even the low cost, the low paid jobs that you have at your fingertips right now, even those things are going to cease to exist. And I don't understand why you don't see it. It doesn't make sense. Then don't forget that once these people come to this country, however many million there are, they're going to qualify for your health care system. Now, I used to work in a hospital down in San Antonio, Texas. And in that hospital system, that's where you had a lot of people coming over the border to make sure they had their children here in the U.S. so that they would become United States citizens. This was an OB hospital, and if you're having a baby down in Bexar County, San Antonio, this is where you were going. We had plenty of births. I did many of, cross-matching and Rh testing and baby heel sticking and PKU reading and things like that. And at that time, 1979, it was 95% Hispanic people coming over from Mexico. Excuse me. So I just need you to know that this is not something that we're poo-pooing or just trying to say, this is nothing, it's not going to affect us. Yeah, it's going to affect you. Everything that happens that costs money is going to affect you. You can't get around it. It happens all the time, and you're not doing anything. I don't know. You're not complaining. And I'm talking about for those who are not, because I know there's plenty of people here that write letters that support candidates, that write into their people, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm saying, as a whole, I saw even on Facebook that the Black Caucus may have had a meeting and said that they were going to, think about not supporting that situation because of the damage that it's going to do. So I don't know. I don't know. Are you concerned? Is everybody here thinking that it's not going to support them? It's not going to bother them? I want to know. I don't know. But anyway, Jeff in the air chair, afternoon with Tracy and friends. And we're talking about everything that's going on. And we thank all our sponsors, first of all, for sponsoring us here and supporting us so we can get out here and we can make this thing happen. Beautiful day out there today. It looks like we have probably about 50, 55, 56 degrees out there right now. And it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. And I am going to go to break. I'm going to drink some tea. And I'm going to have another cut up for you when I get back so that we can hear a couple things that were said at the library yesterday. Then the question is Bush going to be looked at positively or negatively at the end of the next 10 years? Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Be right back.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair. And we're here talking to you what's on our mind, and I'm just rambling here a little bit today. But it's open mic Friday. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Chicago called in and already complained that the Chicago Bears didn't get anybody that he wanted in the draft yesterday. I think that the Browns did get somebody in that I wanted, the quarterback. And I think that he'll do a good job if he wins the position. But we have to really move if we're going to have any kind of season. And I hope there's not so much social unrest that we can't, have leisure like that and have to worry about it. Have to worry about some young boys blowing up stadiums and things like that, trying to anyway. And, these are things that I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about. And I would like it to not be an issue. Not be an issue. But that's neither here nor there. We're gonna have to go ahead and see what we got going here. Okay, Browns did pick up in the draft yesterday. His name is Barkevious Mingo. It's a bad news for the opposition, breaking down each first-round pick. Cleveland Browns get their man when they made Barkevious Mingo the number 1-6 overall pick in the 2013 NFL Draft. The Browns came into the draft with needs to fill at several positions, including cornerback and inside linebacker. But the organization decided to strengthen its outside linebacker spot by adding Mingo. The addition of Mingo, writes NFL.com reporter Mark Sessler, gives the Browns a potentially scary pair of edge rushers on the heels of signing Paul Kruger in free agency. And that's true. The selection of Mingo suggests that defensive coordinator Ray Horton's cries were heard in full. Horton's attacking 3-4 defense is fueled by players who can hunt the quarterback, something the Browns have done with little success since returning to the league in 1999. The addition of Mingo could mean the Browns may trade Jabal Sheard or give him time to grow into his new role, although Coach Rob Chudzinski said he likes what he has seen from Sheard, adjusting to the 3-4 defense. They better leave Sheard alone. don't mess with Sheard, you all. You will lose me as a fan And I am a Cleveland Brown, so I'm not trying. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do that. Leave him alone. Let's. As much as he was busting folks up last year and getting to the quarterback and stopping run plays and all of that, come on. See, that's when they get to start thinking stupid in some of these things they do. Let me read a little bit more. The Browns explain why regime selected Mingo. Good and bad where it comes to it becomes to Barkus Mingo. Look, and these are all statements that were done afterwards. I read the story fine enough. So we have Barkevious Mingo, and that's going to be a good thing because we needed our defense shaped up, because our defense, even though we have a very good defense, start slowing down at a certain time, and then the pass plays are where we're getting killed. So we need somebody back there, cornerback, that's fast, and, you know, that they can get across that field, just like Pittsburgh's main guy, and Polamalu. That boy is everywhere. Man, you can't throw a place on the field he's not going to get to you. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, George Bush, his speech at his own library yesterday, we're going to play some segments of that before we go to break, and then we will be back with you after this. George Bush, full speech at the Presidential Library opening yesterday in Dallas, Texas. Hold on, I'm going to have to get a better one of these than this, because that's just not going to work for me. Local caller, you can call back in. I have to change the feed that I was getting ready to go with here, because that one is giving me echo, and I can't deal with echo, not at all. So we'll find a better one. But what I was going to say is, we were talking just before that. Is it too early for George Bush's legacy to be really put in stone, or are we going to see the change at the end of 10 years of where people really believe and know that he was coming from and the things that he did that worked? I know that we have people that think he was just the worst president ever, but let me tell you, now, he wasn't the worst president ever, and that one I'll guarantee you. It by no means was he the worst president. But is it too early to change? Ed, local caller, you're on there.
Yeah, this is Steve, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
No, I thought about that one religion that you feel that's a cult, man, but at least they acknowledge that we need God's kingdom, because his kingdom will bring an end to all the problems that we see on the earth. I mean, when conditions get worse in the earth, it's a sign that God's judgment is coming.
Well,
I know that Jesus said he would come as a thief in the night. We don't know when that day will come, but it is coming.
Well, no doubt, but
the situation with the integration stuff. I mean, you know that God is, he loves all people. He's not just only concerned about us here in the United States, black or white people. You know, we may believe he blessed this nation, but his main concern, why Jesus came into the world to die so all would be saved and come to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just only concerned about our own government, because in the future, when he set up his kingdom, just all governments are going to fall, and people who are mistreated and be treated unjust, and other nations are going to be treated just and equal.
Okay, now I got a question to ask you, Steve.
And that'll be under the rule of Christ Jesus.
I got a question to ask you, Steve.
Go ahead.
what do we do until that happens?
What do you mean by that, Jim?
No, I'm saying that religion. Listen, that religion that you said. Listen, that religion that you said you believe in, that I don't believe in.
Well, really, Jeff, you're not one accord, though.
No, you're not listening to me.
So go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to know what did Jesus tell the Christians to do till he comes back?
Told you to go there before and preach the good news.
So the good news of what?
About the kingdom.
Yes, about the kingdom. And then, so therefore, you're supposed to be preaching the kingdom. Most people preach just salvation. They don't even understand the kingdom. That Jesus came and brought the kingdom to earth. That we're to act as though we are in the kingdom, and we're supposed to be. Jesus told us to occupy until I come again. That's what he told them. Do you remember that scripture at all?
Oh, as you know. I can't read.
That's okay.
Well, Jeff, I should be trying to work on that.
You should, because you're very intelligent, Steve.
And well, I don't consider myself as an intelligent man. I mean,
well, you are.
No, I'm not.
Well, if you aren't, then how are you sitting here conversating with me?
Well,
and how did you learn what the Jehovah's Witnesses told you?
We're not going to mention any names.
Well, that's who they are, Steve.
Well, Jeff, I'm not a member of the religion.
It doesn't matter whether you're a member of it. You have a lot of understanding of what they believe, and I do too. But that's not the point. You are intelligently discussing points that they are saying. So if you are not intelligent, Steve, which you are, you're very intelligent. But the thing is, here's the thing. You ever hear somebody had dyslexia?
Yes, I have, Jeff. Yes, I have.
Okay, now, people have dyslexia. That does not mean they're not intelligent. You just dedicated the library, a presidential library, in a man's name that is dyslexic, which means he learns different. George W. Bush is dyslexic, yet he could fly a jet fighter plane. And just like that, You got a bad end of the stick, Steve, because the education system failed you.
I did,
because listen why. They're telling you that you're not intelligent, and that's not true. You have a way of learning that's different than most people's are.
Well, that's not
unintelligent. That is learn different, and that's for everybody that's out there. Everybody doesn't learn the same.
I'll be honest, Jeff. I mean, I did not. I had a chance to, you know, better myself.
Sure.
I chose not to.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to blame everything on other people, and I'm not going to make up excuses.
Right, and you shouldn't.
And I still have an opportunity, as long as I have, you know, God give me life, I still have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
To better myself, Jeff, when it comes down to my education.
Absolutely. But my point is, Steve, is just because you had a disability, and this is for everybody out there. We talk to people all over the place. You know that. So that just because you learn different does not mean you can't learn. And that's where we leave people at in our educational systems, because they may have a enigma, something that they can even have a problem in their life that cropped up and has them not being able to grasp things like all the other kids do at that time. A learning disability. Because if you're not able to be mainstreamed, you're disabled from the regular learning process. But the thing is they'll tell you you can't learn, which is not true.
Well, I know that because there are people who are much older than I who went back to school and got their GED and graduated.
Now, if you would quit being out there trying to play with the ladies, you could learn how.
There you go. You could be out there like that.
If you would stop doing that, Steve.
I'm not playing with no women.
You're not playing. I didn't tell you trying to play with them. I'm telling you, trying to play them. You're trying to be out there playing. I understand.
I'm going to walk the straight and narrow. Just
All right. Well, you walk the straight and narrow
and get
back.
I'm not going to sit up there and lie. I'm a lady, man. I like women like Diva. You're right.
Oh, Diva. You talk about Diva. See, I don't think she's here today.
Well, she's on another line?
She's around. I mean, she's around. She was in here yesterday. You missed her.
Oh, she was?
Yep. She was on yesterday.
Well, if you hear, just tell us Steve asked about it.
Yeah,
I'm concerned about Diva, though. I know she's sick.
She's doing a lot better.
She's a young woman. And see, there
you are. Yeah, I got
again,
you.
Jeff, I mean, you know.
I hear you. Wait a minute. Unlisted caller and 412, if you want to talk, hit the 1. Okay, so you hold on, Steve. Don't go nowhere. Maybe Diva will pop up, or you can just listen, and then you know she'll
talk. I'll listen in.
All right, buddy.
You take care, John.
All right.
Yeah.
412, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff. How you
Hey.
Doing?
Doing great, buddy.
You know, in the news here in Florida, Governor Rick Scott is catching a little bit of heat, and I'm actually applauding him. Because he seems to be, for the most part, shutting down the drone program here in Florida.
Yeah.
And, I'm just wondering if there's any kind of legislation or whatever, any kind of movement like that in Ohio that you know about. Because I know, because what he's doing is essentially. He's saying that, well, you can only use it in very specific cases, like if there's active terrorism, and I think there's one or two other instances, but, you know,
right.
he's basically shut down the sheriffs from being able to use it for general surveillance because they want to look in people's cars while they're driving and all this stuff. And that's just that's insane. And so, you know, I just had to really applaud Governor Rick Scott, from my state here in Florida and any other governor that's willing to do that, because we really need more states to step up and do that to really shut it down, shut down these drones.
Well, no doubt about it. Here, they're shutting down the Medicare expansion of Obamacare. So they tackled that one first, and in our state legislature, the governor was going to go along with it because really, what else could he really do by himself? But the state legislature and the Republican controlled House is saying, no, we're not going to expand that, and we're not going to fund that because it's going to bankrupt us, et cetera, et cetera. So they've right now, I don't know how successful it's been, but they shut that down. But that drone program, you should be afraid of that drone program. Now, they want to put drones up over us, Alex, but at the same time, they want to take my ability to have a gun, that could do damage to that drone or who that drone is leading to me. And guess what? What if the drones were able to be hacked and hijacked and sent to attack the people?
Well, they can be. I mean,
absolutely.
Because Iran figured it out, and that's really what we're mad at them about, because they were able to intercept the communications and then take over. I mean, everybody remember they were able to basically land that drone down safely. So they figured out they were able to hack the commands enough to land the drone down, and now they're over there studying it, and they're like, oh, so this is what you're doing. You know,
absolutely.
So yeah, if you can figure out that much, then you could hack into it to do anything, to spy on people, to you know, the big one of the things that I heard Rand Paul talk about that people aren't even thinking about is that we're going to start to see terrorist drones, you know.
Yeah.
So they may send their own up in the air, but they could also hijack existing ones as terrorist plots.
Well, the one thing that Rand Paul said is that he okayed the drone strike in case of, law enforcement. But I don't like that idea, because just like they shut down that whole city for those two guys, I don't think it's necessary. I think you make sure that the people have ample ability to get out the way or to protect themselves. And you police the thing just like you police anything else or on a higher level, but you do not have to send a drone in to get anybody. We have helicopters with the technology to follow people.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I'm not with that, but go ahead.
That's a sticky situation there. I mean, I understand what he's technically saying. Because he's saying that if you got his example was if you have a robber, he comes out of a store or whatever, and he has some money and a gun, and he's brandishing a gun. Under normal circumstances, the police are going to shoot and kill him anyway. So what does it matter if he's killed by the pistol of the officer, or if a drone does it under control of the police? So
precedent.
And that's what it is. You know, it's I understand what he's saying technically, but still, I don't like it either.
That's where I'm at. And I tell you the truth, believe it or not, I like Rand Paul. I do like Rand. I think his daddy crazy, but. But he's not stupid. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between crazy and stupid. And that's my concern about it. I'm not against the idea of having the ability to have drones. But when you have thousands of them turned on the United States, I can't get with that.
Yeah, I like the idea of drones like surveying the borders. You know,
absolutely.
I think that's an excellent idea instead of putting boots on the ground or as many boots on the ground. You know, I think our servicemen and women could be used in much more other vital areas. You know, than just patrolling a border. So I do like that idea, you know, for watching our borders, but there's really very limited things that, I'd say using a drone is good for. I mean, acts of terrorism, maybe you could justify that, you know, but even then I'm a little bit, I don't feel right about it because, you know, just because there is an act of terrorism, then they'll just start, spying in people's homes. And I mean, yeah, it's warned under the law now. They can do that. You know, they're already allowed to do that when they're under pursuit of a perpetrator. You know, they've been able to do that, but then to drones just take it to another level.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We're gonna see the error of our ways here very soon, and I'm really upset about that. But if we don't do something, what did you think about them using the gas over there in Syria?
Are you talking about how Syria's they're selling their gas to was it
no
EU
no no
or
Syria
like
used poison gas on their against their the people that are going after the government
other rebels yeah. all the rebels.
Which I don't believe, but
I don't know. I mean, I think we should stay out of their affairs, honestly. Because I question, okay, what would the United States government do if a group of us, rebelled? And with these drones and everything, I mean, they've dropped bombs on us, on African Americans up in New York City, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Florida, all over the place.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
When they bombed the moon, people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, they we have a history, at least African Americans, of being bombed and being and suffering state terrorism by the United States government. So, I'm just not quick to judge situations like that over there about what they're doing. We shouldn't be giving them money in the first place.
I agree with you there.
You know, so we're just wrong all the way around. You know, we need to just mind our own business.
But the president said if he uses that gas, then that's going to mean to him a red line, and so he's going to now he more or less he's painted himself into a corner to have to act, and I don't think he really wants to act. I think that he said that, to bark the system, the situation down, but I don't think it's working for him very well. I don't think so at all. And so in other words, we're getting ready to do the same thing in Syria that we did in Iraq. And then when we do that, what will he say for the midterm elections? See, he doesn't want to attack them before any midterm election. He doesn't want Israel to attack Iran before the midterm election. Plain and simple. He doesn't want that to happen. Because that's going to be a black eye on him. And that's what he's been trying to avoid all this time. But it's impossible.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Which is why, Obama and Bush, I'd look at Obama as just the third and fourth term of president of George Bush, to be honest.
Well, anyway, it was interesting some of the things that were reported that were in the library as far as situations and things that were decisions that were made. And so I'm interested. I'd love to see the library, tell you the truth. I really would like to see that because I'd like some of the questions answered about what what they were saying did and did not happen, et cetera, et cetera. But don't go nowhere, man. I'm going to be right there with you. Unlisted caller, you are on the air.
I assume this is I.
This is you.
Brother Jeff.
Yes, sir.
This was a quiet day for you. You didn't have too many callers.
No, it's a quiet day, period, so you can get it in, man.
Well, okay. Cause
the sun is shining. Hey, Tracy's out of town. You know, they're fighting it out downstate to see who's going to be the head of the Republican Party in Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so she sits on the Central Committee, so she's going to be part of that vote today.
Okay. I heard somebody, I thought she was sick,
she's okay.
She hasn't been well, though, right?
No, she's been busy.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, that's my gal, man. I love her.
I'm the one that's been sick, I haven't tasted any barbecue ribs yet, man. And I know it's been warm.
Barbecue ribs ain't gonna help you, man. You need some medicine.
Barbecue ribs with some green and that pot liquor.
You like all that soul food, huh? Hey, the weather getting nice. That's what I do when the weather nice.
I know.
You see my grill outside there.
Yes, sir.
I cook the ribs, and I'll invite you over one of these evenings. But I'm going to respectfully disagree with some of the things you say.
Okay, go ahead.
I heard one of the callers, your previous caller, said something about we were bombed. They bombed the black folks. In what city was that?
Back he said, no, now, Alex, go ahead and repeat those cities if you can.
No, okay.
No, he's on the line still.
Yeah, yeah, that's Philadelphia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, New York City, Philadelphia, is where I know of, or where I've read about.
I've read about it, too. Now, here's the thing. I think it was more like Oklahoma.
Well, that was Black Wall Street.
And these people lived in a segregated town, and they were doing very well. But some incident come up. I don't know, was it a rape charge or whatever? And these black men and got their guns and said they were going to protect themselves. And I understand from that Uncle Sam, they actually dropped bombs on black people. I think it was Oklahoma. It wasn't too. I ain't heard all them other cities, but this is, and they killed a lot of black folks, black men. I seen a old picture of them. These men laying down on the out in the streets, dead. Some of them in their homes. These were black men that dared to try to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, we always use that phrase "Black History," but that's American history. You know what I mean? And I've used that phrase. I have called talk shows off and on for quite a while. And I get angry. I'm one of them angry, still one of them angry black men. You know, we heard the phrase angry white men. Boy, and that used to get at everything.
I remember hearing you call other stations and have a fit about that.
Yeah, yeah. Angry white men. They had the best jobs, lived in the best neighborhood, and best of everything. As soon as we had a chance fighting to get some of these jobs, they were angry. But Jeff, I like to sit down. I'm not anti-white. I am not.
Well, I know you're not. I know you're not. And see, here's the thing, Mr. Cox. This is what happens. People get it real twisted, real quick. That, you know, you hear the founding fathers, and you hear the people that built the nation, and then you have all the huge guys like Carnegie and the guy that did Standard Oil, all of these other things. They're getting all the glory for being the people that built the nation, when in reality they forget the down payment on the building of this nation, which was black people in America.
Right.
Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of people a little upset with that, but...
Okay,
no,
that's
no.
Why I called, because I want to upset them. I said, Jeff, this is a quiet day. And generally when I called, they started getting some of them other callers in.
Yeah, and, no doubt.
And I said, let me help Jeff out here, because she was playing these recordings over and over, and there's no response.
The thing is I was doing the recording because I'm sick as a dog, man.
I know. I could hear you. You coughing and
yeah, I'm snuffling everything, and I got to work this weekend. I can't afford this.
What, you got a bad cold?
Yeah, I'm getting over it. It's just leaving now. So, that's what I'm saying. People forget that, and they don't pay attention to that, and that hurts. That hurts when you're not considered, you know, for what actually happened in history.
No. When I heard you say one time during your school days, you learned very little about black history. And
you
I know I did. I did.
Right.
The only thing that we heard about was George Washington Carver invented the peanut. We knew nothing about the World War I that black men fought there. White men didn't want them to fight with them. They sent them over to what was that country?
I forget where they sent a lot of black people to.
Yeah,
they didn't let the black troops fight with the regular with the other people in World War II. They didn't think you could fly. You had the aptitude to fly. Until the
car. Don't that make you feel good when you see to hear about
absolutely, absolutely. And when the gentleman comes out here to the VFW to speak every year, or periodically, that is something to be proud of. I'm proud of that.
Well, I am too.
And that's, yeah, because that makes you mad. Now, we're going to get interrupted by the news, but you can either hang up and call back or just hang on the line.
I'll call back.
All right.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A bill to put furloughed air traffic controllers back to work is headed to the president's desk. And ABC's Vic Ratner says it's not a moment too soon for frustrated travelers.
Just before heading for the airport to fly home for a recess, House members voted overwhelmingly to get furloughed flight controllers back on the job. Republican Tom Latham blaming the travel delays on the president.
The administration has played shameful politics with sequestration at the cost of hardworking American families.
The measure now goes to the president for his signature. Here's ABC's White House correspondent, Ann Compton.
President Obama will sign the transfer of money to keep air traffic controllers on the job. Yet Press Secretary Jay Carney says this is no sequestration fix.
This is a Band-Aid covering a massive wound.
It's a gouge in federal spending that can only be repaired when Congress passes a full new budget, including tax reforms. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The State Department says the Obama administration is working toward a definitive judgment on whether the intelligence on chemical weapons in Syria shows Bashar Assad's regime crossed what President Obama referred to as a red line.
We're not there yet, but we're very carefully looking at the information, working to establish credible and corroborated facts.
Spokesman Patrick Durntel. At least 10 people are hurt after a collision between a freight train and a rural transit bus that was carrying senior citizens and people with developmental disabilities. The crash occurred at an unmarked railroad crossing near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dense morning fog may have been a factor. A country music legend has died.
Oh, that little bit.
George Jones started singing as a youngster on the streets for tips in Beaumont, Texas. He ended up having a career that spanned decades and fans from across the music industry, including Elvis Costello. Jones was 81. This is ABC News.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The U.S. Geological Survey is worried about its ability to monitor flood levels at a time when it wants to watch them carefully. ABC Scott Goldberg tells us why.
With spring flood season approaching its peak and so many Midwesterners just starting to calculate the damage,
everything's gone.
There could be another dark cloud moving in courtesy of the sequester. The U.S. Geological Survey says because of those across-the-board budget cuts, it's going to stop operating 375 stream gauges it uses to monitor and predict flood levels. USGS says gauges in service now in the Midwest won't be shut down, but less critical gauges will be as soon as next week. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The State Department is denying a visa to the daughter of Cuban President Raul Castro. Mariela Castro had wanted to attend a conference in Philadelphia that's going to be sponsored by the Equality Forum. Castro is being honored for her gay rights activism. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the 2013 Ford F-150 has an available EcoBoost engine that delivers the best combination of towing and fuel economy. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer or visit driveoneohio.com.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats. How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you are a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Amberen is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause weight loss in women over 40 with no big changes in lifestyle. Amberen restores hormonal balance in women over 40 so you can finally lose the weight. And all of the other menopause symptoms? Simply go away. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-922-3170. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-922-3170. That's 1-800-922-3170.
A gout attack may prevent you from participating in everyday events that are your greatest joys. The most common form of inflammatory arthritis in men, gout affects millions of Americans. Gout attacks, which some have described as feeling like a severe burn, may occur when uric acid levels build up. Without ongoing management, gout may prevent you from enjoying life's simple pleasures. Learn more about managing this chronic illness at www.goutliving.org. This message brought to you by the...
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Somebody's telling me that capitalism did not win in the war of the states, which they said it was against capitalism and socialism. Okay, and I understand what they're trying to say, but it's not correct. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because no, if you don't know, you really don't know what happened. And it really, it really is something to see when people argue points they have no idea what's going on, but they got something to say. They have something to say. I'm gonna do this real quick, and. I have fun with social media at times. I really do. And, you know, we're looking at a number of things today. And it is real funny. We were talking about Black Wall Street just a minute ago. And I got a good friend of mine said that we have to start moving on to, you know, leaving the past behind and going on to the future. Let me tell you something. You really can't go to the future if you haven't put the past, laid it correctly down. In other words, the country, if you don't realize that when it gets 80 degrees outside and you have air conditioning, if you don't realize that a black man created air conditioning, then there's a problem. because that was a huge jump in being able to cool down huge buildings that they built in the big cities. If you don't realize that when you dial your cell phone, that it was a black man that created that cell phone, and you still treating people bad because you considering that they don't add anything to society. It's not true. It's just not true. You have to make sure that you can take control of the situation and let somebody know who contributed what to this society. And that's the whole thing. You look at me as though the people that I emanate from have never done anything for the society. I heard Michael Savage say it one time, and I tried to call, and I could not get in to him. He said, "What has the black race ever done for humankind?" Now, I know where his frustration was at that moment, because he's looking at the way that people are here in America right now. And he's looking at how that situation is a certain way. But he's not looking at that throughout a long period of time, some things happened that you need to know about. We lately, within the past 30 years, got that blood plasma was the invention or the discovery of black man, Dr. Charles Drew, who they wouldn't use it, used the thing on to save his life when he was in a car accident and he died because they refused to use the proper things on. Mr. Cox, you're open, and Alex, you're open as well.
Okay. Jeff, you're amazing me. You know a lot about American history, which they call black history.
Oh, my God. Look, my mother was an avid reader, and she made us read.
Okay.
And not only did we have to read, we had to read to her. And when the Reader's Digest books had those learn these 10 words for your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Guess whose three kids was doing it? Dorothy Green's kids were doing it.
That was your mother's name, huh?
That's my mother's name is Dorothy.
Is she alive?
No, my mother passed in 94.
I'm sorry to hear.
Three months before my daughter was born. That was so tragic to me at that time. Still is.
I heard she was a beautiful singer.
Absolutely. She had a great voice.
That's what I heard.
She was invited to sing, go to New York and sing and turned down an operatic career to be my father's wife and have us, which I'm most grateful.
I understand that. Yeah, I heard that. I didn't know your. I knew your dad, you know, because I'm part of that.
Uh-huh.
I'm part of the WW2.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Jeff, that I went into the Navy at 17. I volunteered.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, the war wasn't fully over, but I went in, and I went in as a seaman. They tried to make a mess cook, what do they call it, a mess boy.
Yeah.
That's at that time, you know what I mean, flunkies for the officers.
Yeah.
And I refused. When I went up to Cleveland, and I was the only black recruit there that day. The others, about 40 others, were white, and they wanted to sign me over to be a steward mate. A steward mate is, like I said, flunkies for the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them I hadn't been sworn in. And this was a black officer who was trying to persuade me to be a steward mate. And I told him, he says, "Hey, look, you get all you want to eat." And I said, "Hey, I didn't join this Navy to eat." I said, "I want to be a seaman, just like the rest of these here white boys here." And I said, "If you can't sign me over to SEMA to send me up to Great Lakes. That's where they did this training at. I said, yep. I'm going back home. They signed me up as a SEMA. Now, here's mm-hmm. the thing. You ever heard of the Majestic Motel, a hotel in Cleveland?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if they still exist or not, but I was the only one they sent by taxi to the Majestic's hotel. Now, the other 40 or so whites went through white hotels. I was angry there then. I even mentioned it. I said, well, I got to go. Well, that's their policy. But
right.
But make a long story short, I was Navy. I was on an aircraft carrier. And I learned a little bit about this world that we live in and about this country. Every country that we went into, like China, was in China, down at the Panama Canal Zone.
Mm-hmm.
They badmouthed us. Now, we went into, well, we was in, that was Shanghai, China. Our whole fleet was there. First day there, we got souvenirs like silks and stuff, and China was not like it is today. It was primitive. So after we got our souvenirs, me and a couple of sailors were walking around, and we heard some voices sound like they were Americans. And we goes into this building. Well, it was soldiers, sailors, Marines. And we went in and sit down. Before we could sit down good, a Chinese woman come up to us and told us that that we would not be served. And we said, what do you mean? She said, the American white man come in there and told them that we served any, you know what they call us, black, whatever, that they would not bring their business there. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I just work here. And she said, angry. We got up. There's only three of us, and there was a couple of hundred whites there. But but definitely, can you imagine that we thought we were Americans? Okay, down at the
well, you
Panama,
were, but you just everybody didn't accept you as that.
Yeah, now the Panama Canal Zone. I was on this aircraft carrier, and we was going through the Panama Canal Zone on our way to the South Pacific. We stopped there for a couple of days there at the locks, and Panama is like Florida, man. I mean, hot, miserable heat. So me and a couple of sailors, we seen this bar on the corner, a little small bar. It had Joe Louis Bar,
mm-hmm.
you know. And naturally, Joe Louis was our hero during them days, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Joe Louis, you know what I mean? And we couldn't, hey, we're down in this strange country, and they know about Joe Louis, you know. But we went into the bar, and we sat down. There was only two white soldiers in there and about one Panamanian. So we sit down, and we weren't in there too long. We hadn't even ordered anything. I didn't drink either anyway. But anyway, next come through the door, two white MPs shouting,
mm-hmm.
okay, you guys, get out of here. This place is off limits. So we didn't know. We got up, getting ready, and he told us, the one MP said, not you guys. He said, them two soldiers there. And the one soldier said, well, wait a minute. We're all servicemen. Why is they can stay here and we can't? And MP said, hey, just shut your mouth and do like we tell you. So
right.
He said, hey, I don't understand. What? And he smacked this MP, smacked this here white soldier, and told him to shut his mouth and get the hell out of there. And he left. And we sitting there, of course, and this one Panamanian come up to us, and he told us, he said, you know what? We understand what you people of color go through in the United States. He says racism anywhere. And that's every country the white man went into, he brought his white supremacy, BS. And
well,
like I said, man, that's when I come out, I joined in 1948 when I got out of the service. And I was there, I stayed there a while in California after my discharge. And I was looking over a guy's shoulder, I think he had the newspaper, Baltimore Sons of the, and here was a black woman and her two sons were supposed to get electrocuted. The one son was 11 and the one was 13 years old. What happened? Some of this lady went over to the farmer's land to retrieve some of her livestock. And this farmer started beating her. And these two sons come to her rescue. 11 and 13 years old, and the farmer died as a result of the beating. That was Mississippi, the worst state in the Union. And anyway, They were sentenced, had a trial, and they were sentenced to die in the electric chair. I was sick to my stomach, outraged. And that's when I joined the NAACP out there in California. I don't know what I paid. It wasn't that much money then, maybe $40, $50. Yep. But anyway, a lifetime. But anyway, that was what was going on in this country. And that's why I've been a fighter. And that's when you hear me on these talk shows, when I hear these racists, you know, demonizing us. Like that savage. You say, I don't even listen to them.
Well, I listen to listen. You gotta listen to them, and this is why. You have to understand where, and the reason why I just gave you all that time just now, because I do have some other callers, but I thought it was important that you get that story out, because people don't believe that these things happened, and if they do believe they happened, they don't believe that they still happen. And it's important that everybody knows and understands that things happen daily for and against us, and we don't have any power in the society when we only make up 15% of it.
And we can't be called racist, can we?
No,
we are not racist. We can be prejudiced, but black people
racist. Right, because of that. But some people say you can be racist anyway, because one definition is that it's just that you have prejudices against another race.
Yeah,
but it should be defined as power structure, but in the dictionary it is not. So you don't have people really saying that, and that's why. But it's true. We don't have the power structure to lord ourselves over other people.
Nope.
But what you have to understand is, what has to stop is the stereotypes, and what has to stop is the automatic assumption that somebody is shiftless, lazy, this, that, and the other because of the color or what they are.
Oh, yeah,
or
we
that
all
they're
on welfare, right?
Right. or that everybody that's white is prejudiced.
No, I know that.
But a lot of people don't know that. See, you have to understand that. A lot of people don't know that. And so it's important that we dispel those things, you know, as we have dialogue, you know, we're able to dialogue here on the radio. And we can say these things should not ought to be. But right now we're going to pay some bills, and we'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Callers on the line, stand on, hold by. We'll be right back.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing.
We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again afternoon with Tracy and Friends, talking to you about what's on our mind. Open like Friday, and what's listening to you about you voicing your view. I let Mr. Cox, who's one of our seasoned citizens here in the Youngstown, Ohio area, man, it's done a lot of good in his neighborhood, trying to make things better, and really, really did a good job. And here, understand, we have a dichotomy of view here. Why is it that many black people can understand or believe that Trayvon Martin didn't do anything wrong to end up dead that night, and many white people believe that he did? Why is it that Rodney King got beat down right in front of our faces, but everybody wanted to believe that somehow he caused the beat down to happen, when he could have been subdued and handcuffed at any time with those many officers around him? Why did we don't think many black people don't think O.J. Simpson killed Nicole? Why? Because he didn't kill her a couple weeks before, when he really had a chance to kill her for doing something in front of his, practically in front of his children, carrying on a sexual act with a boyfriend. If he didn't kill her then, he wasn't ever going to kill her. And he certainly wouldn't have been there 2 weeks before he was going to kill her, nursing her back to health, taking care of the kids, and cooking for her while she had pneumonia. And then 2 weeks later to kill her. Doesn't make sense. Now, it does to people that don't understand black people, but it doesn't to black people, especially those that have gone through situations like what we've gone through. It is absolutely fantastic to see the situation. I'm going to have to take a short pause for the calls. I'll be right back after these messages.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin and Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman. And he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Jeff in the air chair. We're going to have to cut the broadcast a little short today because I'm having some particular problems. And we'll be back again Monday, bright and early, 12 o'clock, with afternoon with Tracy and friends. And we're going to continue the conversation. Everybody, so stick and stay, don't go away. We're going to play a little bit of Dr. Ben Carson for you and a Liberty University convocation speech that he made one year ago. And this gentleman is up and coming, and he's doing a wonderful job of making the, how should I say, making everything come to fruition in understanding of what's going on in our country. Now, some people will agree with him, some people will disagree with him. But over and all, by and large, Dr. Carson is one of the wisest voices speaking out there today. He's not a politician, so we're not going to get political speech. We're going to get plain mother wit wisdom out of this man. And I appreciate him, and I hope you enjoy him. I'll see you again Monday morning, afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be back.
It is a real pleasure to be here at Liberty. You know, this is my first time at Liberty, although I've followed its progress over the many years, and I'm very, very proud of what's going on at this university. And I actually have some people who are very close to me who are students here, Hannah and Ben Walker. Ben was actually named after me. And, you know, just the things that have been going on here represent, I think, a lot to the country. And I want to talk a little bit today about how important it is in your life to stand up for what you believe in. You know, I've always only wanted to be a doctor. That was the only thing that really interested me in life. You know, when I was a small child, I used to listen to the mission stories in church and Sabbath school. They frequently featured missionary doctors, people who traveled all over the world at great personal expense, sacrifice, to bring not only physical but mental and spiritual healing to people. And it seemed to me like the most noble thing someone could do. So when I was 8 years old, I decided I was going to be a missionary doctor. And that was my dream until I was 13, at which time, having grown up in dire poverty, I decided I'd rather be rich. So at that point, missionary doctor was out and psychiatrist was in. Now, I didn't know any psychiatrists, but on TV they seemed like rich people. You know, they drove Jaguars, they lived in big fancy mansions, big plush offices, and all they had to do was talk to crazy people all day. And it seemed like I was doing that anyway, so I said, you know, this is going to work out extremely well. And I started reading Psychology Today. I was the local shrink in high school. Everybody brought me their problems. I would sit there and stroke my chin, say, tell me about your mama. And then I majored in psychology in college, did advanced psych in medical school, and I was gung-ho. I was all ready to be a psychiatrist. And then I started meeting a bunch of psychiatrists. Need I say more? But just kidding. Some of my best friends are psychiatrists. But, you know, what I discovered pretty quickly is what psychiatrists do in real life and what they do on television are two completely different things. And, you know, they're really some of the more intellectual and very important parts of the medical community, but it really wasn't what I wanted to do. And, you know, I just said, Lord, what is it that you really want me to do? And I started thinking about special gifts and talents. You know, God gives everybody special gifts and talents. Everybody in here is better than everybody else at something. And it's a matter of figuring out what your gifts and talents are. And I realized that I had a lot of eye-hand coordination. I had the ability to think in three dimensions. I was a very careful person. I never knocked things over and said, oops, which is a good characteristic for a brain surgeon, by the way. And, you know, I love to dissect things. And so I said, you know, you would be a terrific neurosurgeon. And really, that's how I came up with that idea. And, you know, it turned out to be obviously the right choice for me. But, you know, I think if you spend some time trying to get in contact with those gifts that God gave you and then think of careers that take advantage of that as opposed to just doing what your mom or your dad did or what your friends are doing, it, I think, will make a tremendous difference in terms of how things turn out. Now, let me just take a brief moment for a disclaimer. You know, everybody makes disclaimers these days. They say, I sit on this board or that board. I'm associated with this organization. Therefore, you must take everything I say with a grain of salt. Well, what I've discovered in recent years is that it's very difficult to speak to a large group of people nowadays without offending someone. Have you noticed that? You know, when I was a kid growing up, they used to have a saying. I doubt you guys know this saying, but it was, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do young people know that anymore? I don't think so. Because now people walk around with their feelings on their shoulders, waiting for somebody to say something. Did you hear that? And then they can't hear anything else you say. You know, I was talking to a group one time about the difference between a human brain and a dog's brain. And a man got offended. He said, you can't talk about dogs like that. And then I was talking to a group about how the fashion industry has gotten the young ladies to think they're supposed to be so skinny they look like they escaped from a concentration camp. And, you know, a Jewish man got offended, you know. He said, you can't mention concentration camps. He said, that's way too sensitive. It would be as if I said something to you about slavery. I said, you can talk about slavery all you want. It doesn't bother me. But, you know, some people just choose to get offended. So this is my disclaimer. It is not my intention this morning to offend anyone. And if anyone is offended, too bad. Because I got to tell you, I do not believe in political correctness. And in fact, I believe that it is a highly destructive force that is threatening to destroy our nation. And, you know, a lot of the people who founded this nation came here trying to escape from people who told them what they could say and what they could think. And here we are reintroducing it through the back door. And really the emphasis should not be on unanimity of speech or unanimity of thought. The emphasis should be on learning how to be respectful of people you disagree. And if we can ever learn that, I think we will be on our way to having a much stronger nation. And this is something that we clearly are going to have to convey to the people who supposedly run this nation, who seem to have no concept of it whatsoever. Well, at any rate, there I was. You know, I wanted to be a doctor, but I wasn't a particularly good student. You know, my parents got divorced early on, and my mother only had a third grade education. She worked very hard, two or three jobs at a time as a domestic, cleaning other people's houses, because she didn't want to be on welfare. Because she was very observant, and she noticed no one she ever saw go on welfare came off of it. And so she didn't want to go on it in the first place. And she had a very difficult life. Discovered, you know, after getting married at age 13 and moving to Tennessee with her husband to Detroit, some years later she discovered he was a bigamist. And I remember telling that story at the University of Utah, the graduation, nobody thought it was that strange. But, see, that probably offended somebody. But you know, with all the things that happened in her life, she never felt sorry for herself. And I think that was a good thing. The problem is she never felt sorry for us either. So there was never any excuse we could give that was good enough. She would always say, do you have a brain? And if the answer to that was yes, then she would say, well, it really doesn't matter what John or Mary or Susan or Robert or anybody else did. You could have thought your way out of it. And, you know, when people don't accept your excuses, pretty soon you stop looking for excuses and you start looking for solutions. And I think it makes all the difference in the world. Well, at any rate, you know, I was a terrible student, probably the worst student you can ever imagine. In fact, my nickname was Dummy. That's what everybody called me. And they enjoyed the fact that I was in the classroom, though. And the reason is because I was what's called the safety net. You never had to worry about getting the lowest mark on a test as long as I was there. And, you know, I just kind of gave up on myself. I really didn't think that I was very smart. And fortunately, my mother would not give up. And she prayed and she asked God to give her wisdom to know what to do. How could she get her young sons to understand the importance of intellectual development? You know what? God gave her the wisdom. At least in her opinion. My brother and I didn't think it was all that wise. Because it was to turn off the TV set. Now, what kind of wisdom is that? You know, as far as we were concerned, that was child abuse. But she said we could only watch two or three TV programs during the week. And with all that spare time, we had to read two books apiece from the Detroit Public Libraries and submit to her written book reports, which she couldn't read, but we didn't know that. You know, she put little check marks and highlights and underlines and stuff. And we thought she was reading them, but she wasn't. But, you know, I hated it. Everybody else was outside having fun. But, you know, after a few weeks, I actually began to enjoy reading those books. Because we were desperately poor, But it didn't cost anything to get a book out of the library. And between the covers of those books, I could go anywhere. I could be anybody. I could do anything. I begin to imagine myself in laboratories conducting experiments and, you know, looking through telescopes and discovering new galaxies and microscopes, microcosms. And I began to know things that nobody else knew. And I started reading about animals and then plants and then rocks. And pretty soon I could identify virtually any rock, tell you where it came from, how it was formed. Still in the fifth grade, still the dummy. And one day the science teacher walked in, and he held up a big, black, shiny rock. He says, "Can anybody tell me what this is?" Well, now, I never raised my hand. I never answered any questions. So I waited for one of the smart kids to raise their hand, and nobody did. So I waited for one of the dumb kids to raise their hand, and nobody did. So up went my hand. Everybody turned around. They couldn't believe it. Carson's got his hand up. Oh, this is going to be good. They were ready. And the teacher was so shocked. And he said, "Benjamin?" I said, "Mr. Jake?" "That's obsidian." And there was silence in the room because it sounded good. Nobody knew whether it was right or wrong. They didn't know whether they should be laughing or whether they should be impressed. And finally, Mr. Jake broke the silence. He said, "That's right. That is obsidian." And I said, "You know, obsidian is formed after a volcanic eruption, and the lava flows down, it hits the water, there's a supercooling process, elements coalesce, the air forces out, the surface glazes over." They were all staring at me. You know, they could not believe all this geological information spewing forth from the mouth of the dummy. But I was perhaps the most amazed person because it dawned on me at that moment that I was no dummy at all. I said, "The reason you knew those answers is because you were reading the books. What if you read books about all your subjects? Can you imagine the effect?" And from that point on, no book was safe in my grasp. I read everything I get my hands on. If I had 5 minutes, I was reading a book, waiting for the bus. Reading a book, on the bus, reading a book, in the bathroom, reading a book, at the kitchen table. My mother would say, "Benjamin, put the book down and eat your food." It didn't matter. I was always reading. And you know, within the space of a year and a half, I went from the bottom of the class to the top of the class, much to the consternation of all those students who used to laugh and call me dummy. Now the same ones were coming to me in the seventh grade, and they were saying, Benny, how do you work this problem?" And I would say, "Sit at my feet, youngster, while I instruct you." I was I was perhaps a little obnoxious, but it sure felt good to say that to those turkeys. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I had the same brain, but just a very different outlook. And when you think about it, you think about the brain that God has given you. We were made in his image, and he's no dummy. You know, your brain has billions and billions of neurons, hundreds of billions of interconnections. It can process more than 2 million bits of information in 1 second. It doesn't forget anything you've ever seen or anything you've ever heard, which is why it's important to make sure you don't put the wrong things in there, because they always will impact upon you subconsciously and consciously. But to give you some idea of how complex your brain is, how many of you remember your birthday? Let me just see your hand. I think it's unanimous. Now, what did your brain have to do for you to respond to that question almost instantly? Well, first of all, sound waves had to leave my lips, travel through the air, enter your external auditory meatus, travel down to the tympanic membrane, set up a vibratory force, which traveled across the ossicles of the middle ear to the oval and round window, set up a vibratory force in the endolymph, and mechanically distorted the microcilia, converting mechanical energy to electrical energy, which traveled across the cochlear nerve to the cochlear nucleus at the pontomedullary junction, from there to the superior olivary nucleus, ascending bilaterally up the brainstem through the lateral meniscus to the inferior colliculus and the medial geniculate nuclei, across the thalamic radiation to the posterior temporal lobe to begin the auditory processing, but then to the frontal lobes, coming down the track to victor's jury, retrieving the memory from the immediate hippocampal structure to the mammary bodies, back to the frontal lobes to start the motor response at the Bett cell level, coming down the cortical spinal tract, across the internal capsule into the cerebral peduncle, descending down to the cervical medullary decussation, so you could raise your hand. Now, that that's a simplified version. Now, see how many rap singers can do that. But you know, if your brain can do all that, and you barely even have to think about it, what is your brain capable of if you actually put your mind to something? It really is quite daunting when you stop to think about it. And, you know, our nation right now is in a bit of trouble intellectually because people don't think. People are not knowledgeable. The founders of our nation said that our system of government could only succeed with a well-educated populace. And they said once the populace becomes ignorant, they become easily led by slick politicians, and our system of government will fail. It's a very interesting prediction that was going on there. And, you know, I want you to think about this. There was a survey done some years ago looking at the ability of eighth grade equivalents in 22 nations to solve so-called complex math and science problems. We were one of the 22 nations. We came in number 21 out of 22, and we barely beat out number 22. It was neck and neck. Couple that with the fact that we produce only 70,000 engineers a year in this country, 40% of whom are foreigners. China produces 400,000 engineers a year. 30% of people who enter high school in this country do not graduate from high school. And this is the information age. This is the age of technology. So you can see we have a very significant problem. And it wasn't always like that. You know, in 1831, when Alexis de Tocqueville came to America to study our nation, because Europeans were fascinated, how could a nation barely 50 years old already be competing with all the powers of Europe on virtually every level? That is unheard of. He wanted to know what was going on. In addition to studying the way the government worked, he said, let me look at their educational system. He was flabbergasted to recognize that anybody finishing the second grade was completely literate. He could go out and find a mountain man, and the guy could read the newspaper and have a political discussion with him, knew how the government worked. He'd never seen anything like that. You really want to be impressed, and you'll find this in our new book, America the Beautiful, sixth grade exit exam from the middle 1800s. I doubt that most college graduates today could pass that exam. You look at it when you read that chapter, see if you can pass those questions. We need to double down on the academic standards and not allow ourselves to be lulled into a sense of false security. It is extraordinarily important. But you know the other thing that Alexis de Tocqueville saw that really impressed him? He said, in their public education system in America, they teach values. They teach right and wrong. They have Bibles in their classroom. And he felt that that was really the key to America's power. And he concluded his two-volume set by saying, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And I think he was very prophetic. And the reason I bring that up to you young people is because it is so important in the world in which we live, where secularism has such a loud microphone, that you stand up for what you believe in. You can't just let them have the microphone all the time and do things the way they want. You know, we've reached a point in this nation where people hesitate to say Merry Christmas. How did we allow ourselves to get to that point? And if we continue down that pathway, the rights will be encroached upon further and further. And soon, our nation will not be recognized as a free nation. And it's going to require courage, people to stand up and be counted. You know, and the people ask me all the time, you're a man of science. How can you be a man of science and a man of faith at the same time? I don't think the two are incompatible at all. You know, people say, yeah, but you actually believe in God and that he created things, you know. You can't believe that as a scientist. You know, I've had public debates, you know, with Don Johansson, the guy who discovered the missing link, Richard Dawkins, as you probably know who he is, the God delusion he wrote. And he thinks anybody of faith can't possibly be a person of science. And as we were, you know, debating evolution, I concluded by saying, okay, well, let's agree on one thing. I came from God, and you came from a monkey. I said, no problem. But the fact of the matter is, you know, people who believe that, they have to believe it on faith. And I think it actually requires more faith than it takes to believe in God. You know, when you stop and you think about our solar system, how precise our solar system is. Now, you can predict 70 years hence when a comet is coming because of the incredible order that we see. And yet, they want to say there was a big bang and all of it just came perfectly into order. The same people believe in the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, which says things move toward a state of disorganization. So now how can you have both? And they say, well, it's you have to integrate into that probability theory. You see, if you have enough explosions over a long enough period of time, eventually one of them will be the perfect explosion and you'll have a perfect universe. And I said, so you're telling me that if I blow a hurricane through a junkyard enough times, eventually at the end of one of those hurricanes there'll be a 747 fully loaded and ready to fly. Well, we don't understand everything. And I say, I don't think you understand anything. But the fact of the matter is, you're perfectly welcome to that opinion. But just remember, that is your religion. That is what you believe by faith, just like I choose to believe in God by faith. So don't allow anybody to denigrate your faith just because they claim to be a scientist, because I can guarantee you there are a lot of arguments against what they believe. Well, at any rate, you would have thought that once I got on the track academically, life was going to be great for me. Wrong. You see, I had this terrible temper. And I was one of those people who thought they had a lot of rights. If you know anybody like that, you know somebody who gets angry a lot. Once a fellow hit me with a pebble. It didn't hurt, but I was incensed that he would dare hit me. I picked up a large rock, hurled it at his face, broke his glasses, almost put his eye out. Another time, a guy was trying to close my locker. I didn't want to close. I struck him in the forehead with my fist. Unfortunately, the lock was still in my hand, put a 3-inch gash in his forehead. My mother was trying to get me to wear something. I didn't want to wear it. I picked up a hammer, went to hit her in the head with it. Fortunately, my brother caught it from behind. Other than that, I was a pretty good kid. But you can see how that temper could get you in a lot of trouble. And another youngster angered me. And if you saw the, how many of you saw the movie Gifted Hands? Anybody see that movie? Okay, several of you then. Well, in the scene that was depicted, another teenager angered me. And I took a large camping knife, tried to stab him in the abdomen with it. And fortunately, under his clothing, he had on a large metal belt buckle. And a knife blade struck it with such force that it broke. And he fled in terror, but I was more terrified than he was, and I ran into the bathroom, locked myself in, and I started contemplating my life. And I realized that he had not had that belt buckle on, he would have been killed or seriously injured. I'd been on my way to jail or reform school. And I said, there's no way I'm going to realize my dream of becoming a doctor with this kind of temper. I said, Lord, you got to take it away from me. I can't do it myself. And there was a Bible in the bathroom, and I picked it up, opened it to the book of Proverbs, and there were all these verses of anger, like Proverbs 19:19, that says there's no point getting an angry man out of trouble because he's just going to get right back into it. But there were encouraging verses like Proverbs 16:32, mightier is the man who can control his temper than the man who can conquer a city. And it seems like they were all written just for me. And I stayed in that bathroom for 3 hours reading, contemplating, and praying. And I came to an understanding that to lash out at somebody, to punch somebody in the nose was not a sign of strength. It was a sign of weakness. It meant that you could be controlled by the environment and by other people. And I also understood that if you step out of the center of the circle so that everything is not about you, then you're not likely to be angry. You see, people who are angry all the time are selfish people. He took my thing. He's in my space. He's in my lane. He's in, you know, it's always about me and about mine. And when you learn to shed that, it goes away. And when I came out of that bathroom after 3 hours, that temper was gone. And I've never had another problem with it since that day. And some people say, "Yeah, you just learn how to cover it up." But no, I've got to tell you something. When God fixes a problem, he does not do a paint job. He fixes it from the inside. And it's always good to go to him. When you have a problem, he knows how to fix it and to fix it the right way. And our nation has a problem.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The White House has a tough decision to make. Did the Syrian military cross the red line that President Obama referenced by allegedly using chemical weapons on their own people? And if it did, how should the U.S. respond?
That red line has not yet been crossed in the eyes of the White House, where Press Secretary Jay Carney says they need concrete evidence Assad gassed his own people.
We can say with varying degrees of confidence that he has in a limited way, or that the regime has in a limited way, likely used weapons. We need to build on that.
But voices on Capitol Hill warn the threat of consequences will ring hollow if the president doesn't act now. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A Band-Aid solution. That's how the White House is describing a bill passed today that allows the FAA to shift funds from other budget accounts to end the furloughs for air traffic controllers. Spokesman Jay Carney.
An act of Congress that is underway now to fix this specific and narrow problem with the FAA proves is that it requires Congress to act to deal with this.
Republicans are accusing the Obama administration of purposely causing the delays to get Congress to lift the across-the-board spending cuts. They aren't taking any chances along the Red River where they're sandbagging as the water continues to rise.
If you didn't do it and it flooded over it, you'd look pretty bad, but the federal government requires that you do this.
Lynn Strauss, the mayor of East Grand Forks, Minnesota. He was a country music legend who had fans far from Nashville, too.
No, we're not together.
George Jones' career spanned decades. It resulted in a lot of hits, including some with his third wife, Tammy Wynette. Jones won just about every award the genre offered, along with the admiration of people like Frank Sinatra and James Taylor. George Jones died today at the age of 81. The Dow is up 16 points, and NASDAQ is down 9. This is ABC News.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
It's not unusual to have a disagreement with your home insurance company regarding coverage. This case, though, is a little different.
Might want to check your homeowner's policy. A Grand Michigan man says his insurance is refusing to cover damage done to his mobile home during a neighbor's shootout with police. Lance Reed reportedly says auto owner's insurance shot him down, told him they will cover damage by fire, smoke, flood, wind, riot, or civil commotion, vandalism or mischief, damage by burglary, aircraft, but not damage by bullets. Reed says he's already spent $1,500 on repairs to 5 bullet holes and is now tapped out. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
The second round of the NFL draft gets underway later today in New York.
The biggest story from the first round may have been that Notre Dame linebacker Manti Te'o wasn't selected. He became a tabloid sensation when it turned out that the girlfriend who supposedly died during the season was actually a hoax. His poor play in the national title game lost to Alabama didn't help. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, it's no wonder Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio. 7 models with an ECA estimated rating of 40 miles per gallon highway or better. Now get 0% financing for 60 months on several models.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Have you been thinking that the stock market and 401ks aren't what they're cracked up to be? Listen to Straight Talk Wealth with David Gallner every Saturday at 11 a.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
The best of Sean Hannity is on now.
Let freedom ring. Let the wild
Would you support a Republican presidential candidate someday who supported same-sex marriage?
Oh, I think that's inevitable.
We got to do better to see that our defense of marriage is not reduced to an attack on gay people. And I admit we haven't been too good at that.
When it comes to Republicans messing with voter laws to smother the black vote, that's been a case of hope triumphing over instinct.
Turn on MSNBC. It's like the Ku Klux Klan channel, but it's from a liberal perspective. I'm so tired of it. Just shut up!
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Glad you are with us. Toll free, it is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Now, around the country, there have been numerous instances where Muslims have been asking for acceptance for their religion and tolerance. And, for example, we had a case in Orlando years ago where a woman wanted to get a license photo wearing, you know, full cover and a burqa, and her face was covered in a veil. That was not allowed. There have been numerous instances, for example, in France about whether or not women in Belgium and whether or not women can wear a burqa in public, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we have been reporting that there are a number of Coptic Christians that have been persecuted recently in Egypt, and they've been kidnapped and tortured and et cetera, et cetera. And the, you know, just one report after another. Now, how are Christians being treated, not just in Egypt, but around the world? How are Christians being treated in predominantly Muslim countries? We have, for example, the country of Iran, and we have the story of two young Iranian women who were imprisoned at one of the worst prisons in Tehran, sentenced to death, and their crime was spreading Christianity. Similarly, we have similar stories coming out of Saudi Arabia, similar stories now coming out of Egypt. Anyway, two of the women that were captured and put in this Iranian prison are now speaking out. I won't give their last name, although you can find it on the website, but Maryam and Marzia, and they're along with Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Islamic law in Iran forbids sharing Christian beliefs. Is that right?
Yes, it's correct.
Yeah. And you put your lives at risk doing so. You went to a seminary in Turkey, as I understand it.
Yes, we moved to Turkey in 2005 for a Christian conference and for studying theology. And then we both decided to go back to Iran because we had this passion to serve our people. And, you know, people in Iran cannot serve the Lord, cannot be a Christian, cannot convert to other religion. And we both decided to go back there and started serving our people.
All right, and you had a couple of what you called secret churches that were in people's homes, correct?
Yes, there are many underground churches in Iran.
And particularly you had a ministry that was geared for young people and for prostitutes, many women that had been abandoned by their husbands had no other way to support themselves because they couldn't remarry or they were ostracized by society, right?
Yes. In 2005, when we moved to Iran first, we both had the same vision from God for evangelizing people by distributing Bibles in Iran. Because in Iran, there is just a false and distorted version of Bible, and people cannot find the real version of Bible. But for 2 years, we distributed Bibles in Tehran. We've distributed about 20,000 New Testaments in Tehran and a few other cities. And after that, we started two house churches, one for prostitutes and the other one was for young people in our own apartment.
You knew the risk could potentially be death.
Yes, we knew.
And you did it anyway.
Yes, we did.
All right, so let's talk about how you got caught and the prison you went to.
As I told you, we distributed all these New Testaments in Tehran and a few other cities. And also we had these two house churches. Also, we were evangelizing people every day. Whenever we went for shopping, eating at restaurant, or doing our chores, we were talking to people and handing them a Bible as a gift. And as you know, all these activities are illegal in Iran.
How did people respond when you would hand them the Bible? Some people, I guess, were accepting of it and others weren't.
Yes, most of Iranian, they are very open to hear about Jesus because most of Iranian, they born as a Muslim, but they are not real Muslim. They are very thirsty about God, and they are tired of the wrong rules of Islam. And that's why when we were talking to them, they were very open to hear about God because in Islam, they teach them that God is one who rule over the human rights and punish them for the slightest sins. And people think that they cannot be very close to God. And when we talk about God's grace and his love, they are very eager to know more about God.
Do you think that people sold you out, that you were betrayed, that people turned you in?
We have never heard what was the reason that the government found out about us, but after we got released, we heard from some guards that there were some people who reported about our activities. And also we heard that 2 months before we got arrested, the government was watching us. But we never understood what was the reason and who was the person who reported about our activities in Iran.
All right. Tell us about your arrest and your time in prison.
The day we got arrested, I got a call from a stranger in the morning. He asked me some question about my car document and told me to go to the police station. And since this call was unusual, I called one of my friends who was a lawyer and asked him to give me some advice. And he assured me that there would be no problem and you can go there. When I went there, they took all my documents, handcuffed me, and told me that you're under arrest of being a Christian and evangelizing.
Okay. And so tell us about this famous prison you were taken to in Tehran. It's notorious for being one that is known for executions by hanging, sudden justice, torture. Did any of that happen to you?
You know, we both believe that Evin is really the heart and brute manifestation of the power of the Ayatollahs and is the symbol of their dominance and strength over Iran. This prison is notorious for arresting, torturing, raping, and executing of many innocents. And actually, before going to this prison, we for the first 14 days, we were in another detention called Vozaro, And then we were transferred to Evin Prison, and we spent almost 9 months there.
And Evin Prison is the one that's notorious for all these things. Did anything like that happen to you? I'm not trying to get personal. Were you beaten? Were you raped? Were you tortured?
We were tortured mentally, which is worse than physical torture.
And how did what did they do to you?
They sent us to some solitary cells. It's called 209. It's a separate building in Evin Prison, and it's famous for its mental and physical torture. And
so you were put in solitary confinement?
Yes.
Okay, and what were the conditions like?
You know, 209 is, as Mariam told, it's very famous for physical and mental torture. And there are very small cells in this building, and there aren't any windows, and it's like a hell. I can say it's like a hell, and we had very heavy interrogation. And, for example, for long hours, for about 8-7 hours, we were interrogating by two interrogators. And their behavior was so brutal and humiliating with us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to get to Jay Sekulow in just a moment here. I just want to finish with the with your experience. Now, you were threatened every day. They threatened to kill you, told you you would die on any particular day, correct?
Yes. Every day, almost every day, we heard this from our judges, interrogators, and also from the prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was when you finally went, I guess you had a, if you want to call it a court issue, tell us what happened there.
I think we had about 10 courts. We went to court for 10 times, and every time in the court, they were trying to convince us to deny our faith in Jesus, and they were threatening us if we wouldn't deny our faith, they would have executed us. And they simply tried to convince us to deny our faith.
Weren't you given a death sentence?
Yes. Our sentence was execution by hanging.
Okay. Now let me bring in Jay Sekulow. Jay, pretty amazing story, but how did they get out of there?
Yeah, well, usually it's quiet diplomacy and a lot of public pressure. We've got a case, Sean, that you're aware of with Saeed Abedini, who is in prison right now in the Evin prison for exactly the same thing. He was charged with apostasy. He's a U.S. citizen.
Wasn't he given 7 years?
States, yeah, he's been sentenced for 8 years, which basically, and I'm sure these two women will tell you, 8 years in the Evin prison is a death sentence. The torture that he's received is both mental and physical, and the physical to the point where he's suffering right now from significant internal bleeding. He was evaluated by a doctor who said he needed to be transferred to a hospital. He has not yet been transferred. His family saw him last week. He's in awful shape. You mentioned the courts, Sean. They're a sham. These are the courts of the Revolutionary Guard. There is no judge. It's the Ayatollah making the decisions. The judges are mere puppets of the Ayatollah. And what needs to be said here, and I'm glad that you're promoting these two women who've experienced this as far as getting the story out. This is, when we talk about Saeed Abedini, he's just one, happens to be an American, but he's one of many that are in these prisons that have been either sentenced to death or have been killed. And there's been hundreds killed. And you don't find out that the person's been killed. The family doesn't find out until the body is actually dropped off back at their house. And as you mentioned, Evin Prison is notorious for its hanging. They have scaffolding outside of the actual prison. And there's hanging, Sean, going on every day. The court systems are a mockery of justice. There is no justice. But international pressure can work and publicity can work. We were fortunate this last week, finally, got the Secretary of State Kerry to make a public statement, which it took us a long time to get it, but we did get it, and that's important because now other governments, since it's an American system, citizen, will engage. But these prisons, these two women are obviously have experienced it, but they're not even telling you half of what they went through, I'm sure, because it is as brutal as anything we can imagine.
Let me ask you, did you women see the hangings?
We didn't see the hangings, but we lost many friends. And when we were in prison, they hanged two, three prisoners. And also when we got released, they executed one of our best friends.
Now, you were also evangelizing inside the prison. Were they aware of that?
Yes, we were evangelizing every day. We were talking to people because, you know, before that, we were trying to find prostitutes and, you know, we were trying to find ways to talk to people about Jesus. But in prison, you know, we were more free and we could talk to people. We were in prison and the government couldn't do more than that to us, and we felt more free, and we were talking to people every day, and prisoners were so open to hear about Jesus. And also, we always say that Evin Prison was really our church.
Well, it's then. Did you know Saeed, by the way?
Yes, I know Saeed personally. 14 years ago, I was going to the same church that Saeed was going, and I know his wife, and she's a good friend of mine. I'm so sorry that he's in prison, and also it's not about Saeed, as the Saeed's lawyer said. There are many people who are in prison. One of our goals here is to be a voice for those who don't have any voice here.
Yeah.
You know, some people like Saeed and others like us, they have publicity here in the United States and other countries. But there are people that we know about them, and they don't even have families, they don't have lawyers, and they don't have any voice in Iran, and nobody knows what is going on.
What is the Obama administration doing?
Well, finally, they reacted. It took, under Hillary Clinton, nothing. I mean, we could barely get a statement out of her. We didn't get a statement out of her. We finally, last week, got the United Nations, our representative to the UN, after the European Union spoke out. Finally, our representative at the UN spoke out during the Human Rights Council hearing and demanded his release. That was followed the next day by Secretary of State Kerry making a statement, which we had asked for. The week before that, Sean, we had a hearing on Capitol Hill. The State Department did not even show up. We did have Saeed's wife came. Fox covered it. You covered it extensively on broadcast. But I will tell you this. It took a tremendous amount of pressure. And Miriam is absolutely correct, as is Marzia, and that is you have to realize that the faces of who you see, whether it's Saeed Abedini or Youssef Nardakhani or your two guests today, they are representative of hundreds, thousands that are in prison. And they're charged, Sean. It's interesting. The Iranian authorities will always say it's a violation of national security. But being a Christian, in their view, is a violation of national security.
Well, let me ask you a
question. Because they view Christianity as a threat.
But there's so many Muslim groups in this country, for example, that they demand equal treatment, equal rights,
right,
acceptance, tolerance, et cetera, et cetera. And yet this is not just an Iranian problem. This is a Saudi Arabia problem. This is a problem in Egypt. This is a problem in many
right,
Muslim countries. Are any Muslim groups or leaders speaking out on behalf of these Christians that are being helped?
Not publicly, and I'll tell you this, Sean. You mentioned Egypt. I represent a lot of Coptic Christians, and they are getting slaughtered in Egypt. Their churches are being burnt down. They're being killed, and nothing. We're giving, and we are giving money to the Muslim Brotherhood government of Mohamed Morsi, who's authorizing this. They're his thugs doing this. And, you know, and we've got the Secretary of State going over there saying we're going over to help Egypt with no conditions. You know, my goodness, let's have conditions here. I mean, the idea that we're just giving them, you know, billions of dollars and not expecting anything in return. Believe me, we'll get nothing in return if this is the case. And, yes, Sean, it's bad. The entire Arab Spring, the president's concept of an Arab Spring, which he put forward in 2009 when he made that speech
in Cairo,
has turned into an absolute disaster.
And it's getting worse.
Especially for the minority religions.
All right, Jay Sekulow and Miriam and Marzia, thank you for telling your story. I hope people pay attention to it, and I hope our government gets off their backsides and does something about it. And appreciate you all telling it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean, for having us.
All right, toll-free. We'll continue to follow this story. Toll-free, it's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program.
Over $16 trillion in debt. And the Obama administration doesn't think we have a spending problem.
I want to disagree with those who say we have a spending problem.
It is almost a false argument to say we have a spending problem.
This country has a paying-for problem. We haven't paid for what we bought.
Here's a simple solution.
Spending.
Spending! This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Is your psoriasis causing you pain and discomfort like stinging, itching, and burning? Until you find a solution that works, these symptoms won't go away. If you've been living with the pain of psoriasis for too long and want a trusted solution, try Seroderm. Seroderm delivers relief for your psoriasis in an easy and safe topical treatment. It was developed by Dr. Yoram Harth, a leading dermatologist, and it helps stop the stinging, itching, and burning. Best of all, Seroderm works anywhere you have psoriasis, including your legs, elbows, back, and arms. During this limited-time radio offer, you can try Seroderm risk-free. All you have to do is call now. Just call 1-800-489-2021. That's 1-800-489-2021. You don't have to live with the constant frustration and discomfort caused by your psoriasis. Find relief now and call for a risk-free trial of Seroderm. Just call 1-800-489-2021. That's 1-800-489-2021.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer, plus free shipping. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-583-7671. That's 1-800-583-7671.
Mom means so much. This Mother's Day, send her the very best with a gorgeous arrangement from 1-800-Flowers.com for half off with SweetJack.com.
Oh, Sweet Jack. Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
When we move forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
It's spring sale time at Fairway Ford in Canfield. Hi, it's Heather Stevens in the studio with Bob Davis. And the all-new, redesigned 2013 Ford Fusion is on sale now at Fairway Ford in Canfield.
We've increased our huge inventory even more. And every all-new 2013 Ford Fusion in our great inventory is $4,000 off MSRP. Plus, every Fusion at Fairway Ford includes remote start, too.
A huge selection of 2013 Ford Fusions are available at Fairway Ford. And with $4,000 off every one, you can own a new 2013 Ford Fusion for only $18,495. Plus, you get remote start, too.
Also, on top of $4,000 off, we'll pay you top dollar for your trade-in, no matter what it is. And financing is never a problem at Fairway Ford. See us at fairwayford.us or call 330-533-FORD. Fairway, that's the way we do business.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
When we come back, wide open telephones. We got a great candidate tonight, 9 Eastern. The president, the sermon he got at church yesterday, as divisive as it was. Where's the media on this?
Also tonight, why is Dr. Benjamin Carson under so much fire for being an African-American conservative? We'll debate that tonight. Also, Pat Buchanan will be on, 9 Eastern, saber-rattling by North Korea. What's Obama going to do? How are these Obamas and Bidens so out of touch? With all these vacations, we've got 3 more to add to the list. I kid you not, you can't even make this stuff up. We'll show you a shocking exchange on abortion with members of Congress as they ask Planned Parenthood, what do you do with the baby born alive that's breathing on its own? Where do you see this tape? It's scary. We'll debate that. And also, I see that Jim Carrey doesn't like Fox News. 9 Eastern, Hannity, set your DVR for the Fox News Channel. When we get back, more of the best of the Sean Hannity Show. Stay tuned.
What if you could help your company run better, grow faster, and make more money? With Insperity, you can. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Insperity's HR and business performance solutions are designed with your company in mind to help with recruiting job candidates, employment screening, organizational planning, plus time and attendance needs. Or if your company is ready for Insperity's full suite of HR and business services, Insperity Workforce Optimization includes employment administration, employee benefits, workers' compensation, government compliance, performance management, online training, and so much more. Simply call 1-877-273-6011 or visit Insperity.com today. One call to Insperity handles all of this and more, giving you more time to focus on your business. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
I'm Mark Lavoy, WSOM News. A Youngstown man who spent a quarter century in prison for a 1986 murder is facing a new charge for allegedly attacking a 21-year-old mother last week. 57-year-old James Gooden was indicted yesterday on 2 counts of kidnapping. Gooden is labeled as a sexual predator. Police in Boardman say they've made 2 arrests in connection with thefts of cell phones and a credit card at the town's YMCA. 19-year-old Daniel Watkins of Boardman and 18-year-old Robert Seaman of Canfield are accused of taking things that were not locked up. And a state law that takes effect today requires coaches, volunteers, and officials in youth sports organizations to have players who show concussion-like symptoms sit out games or practices until they've been checked and cleared by a doctor or licensed healthcare provider. The law also requires that coaches know more about concussions and how to spot warning signs. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoy, WSOM News.
For almost 10 years, I've been a lineman for the power company. It's hard work up here on the wires, long, dangerous hours, and at times like this, when storms roll through, I really appreciate how much people rely on me. I know that service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. In the Coast Guard Reserve, our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a challenge I gladly take on because my country needs me. It has a lot in common with my full-time career, and just like other first responders, firemen, police officers, and EMTs, we do our best work when things are their worst. I have no doubt I was born for this.
If you were born ready to give more to your country, the Coast Guard Reserve is ready for you. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-424-8282. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking, fresh, healthy vending franchise today. 800-424-8282. 800-424-8282.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq,
or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And if we're lucky, we get to see. If not, everything is by feel. You always have a buddy with you. You're never doing anything by yourself. You're never alone. I followed my dad's advice to always prove myself and do what I can in the Navy and make him proud, make everyone proud. So I try to do that with everything I do. Being a woman is sometimes more challenging because we have to wear the same amount of gear that a man does, and we have to do the same amount of pull-ups that a man does for the physical training and the test. It's a challenge, but you can do it. You just got to set your mind to it. Taught me how to be a leader, independent, confident.
That's All Hands Radio News. For more information, go to Navy.mil, Navy.mil/underway, and Navy.mil/am.
You're hearing the best of the Sean Hannity Show.
America, you have spoken. And you've helped Sean Hannity reach 1 million followers on Facebook.
That's right, 1 million followers.
We want to thank you and promise you we will keep up the fight and defend your right to let freedom ring.
And save America. Thank you, Scott Shannon. Glad you're with us. Thanks to all of you. Facebook, social media, at Sean Hannity on Twitter. Now, one of the things that has really frustrated me, it seems that, I don't care if it's the Operation Fast and Furious, Benghazi, corruption, stimulus, waste, fraud, abuse, broken promises, unfulfilled promises, you name it, lies, outright lies told about Mitt Romney and Republicans and conservatives by Obama and those on his campaign, et cetera, et cetera. None of it gets called out. Look at the case of Benghazi. We lost the first ambassador in over 30 years. We lost Ty Woods. We lost two Navy SEALs. We lost Sean Smith, who was a Department of State Department computer expert. Four Americans. And all we got for months and months and months were lies, distortions, cover-ups. They screwed up before. They didn't give the security that was requested. President goes to bed, didn't even check in with Leon Panetta after he had found out that the embassy was under attack and we didn't know where our ambassador was, just goes to sleep. And then afterwards, a false narrative about, oh, this is related to a YouTube video. And it turns out none of that is true. And it also now appears that the attack was precipitated by an American attack on some of these extremists. We were lied to. Anyway, one of those people that were killed, one of the four, was Sean Smith. He died in Benghazi on 9/11/2012, and his mother, Pat Smith, is with us. We talked to Ty Woods' father and family. Pat, first thing I want to say to you is I can't imagine the pain you have been through, and please know that there are many of us that have you in our prayers and our deepest, deepest sympathy for your loss.
Thank you.
Tell us about your son.
Well, he was not one of those macho people, but he was a very brave kid. And yes, he was my kid, and he was a computer guy, and he did tell them ahead of time. He typed it in his little typewriter over there that they were going to be attacked. Please, they needed more security, and they were ignored. And I don't appreciate everybody going to bed and going to sleep and not taking care of the guys that they put in harm's way, one of them being my son.
Do you know, Mrs. Smith, how many times that he warned the State Department, and do you know who he warned?
I don't know exactly who it is because it was not they didn't let me know that. My son himself told me that he warned them. He typed it into me. He says, I told him. He says, I sent messages. He says, but that was it.
Wow.
And he was on the teletype or whatever it is. I don't know what they use over there, phone or what. But he was on there telling them when, just before it happened, and that the guy out there was taking pictures of the place. He was telling them that. He was the communications guy, and he was communicating that.
So he was doing their job, and all of these requests. Now, initially, they even cut back the number of people that they provided for security, which was insane.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Now,
they don't tell me much. You know, they want me to shut up.
Have they told? How do you know that?
I was told, and I really would rather not say by who. I can if you need it. But I was told that I'm causing a lot of problems and to shut up and get off of the Fox radio show. And it was even on some Facebook pages that I'm causing problems.
Are these government people saying this?
No.
So, in other words, people out there that hear you and they're trying to intimidate you and get you to be silent even though you lost your son.
I guess that might be one way of saying it, yes. And I told him I will not. I will not shut up until I find out what really happened. And somebody's got to admit to this, or it's going to go on forever. Somebody's got to.
When the president and the secretary of state and secretary of defense, when they had that ceremony and the caskets of these four brave Americans were brought back, you were there, weren't you?
I certainly was. I was sitting right next to Colin Powell's wife.
Yeah. Tell me about your interaction with the president, the secretary of state, defense.
They're not going to like it. The president, I cried on his shoulder, and I was crying there, and he's patting me on the back and looking around to who he's going to talk to next, so I didn't feel any comfort there. Hillary, I cried on her shoulder also, but she paid a little attention to me, then walked off. Panetta took my face in his hands, telling me, I asked him, please, please let me know what happened. I've got to know. And he took my face in his hands and he said, trust me, I will get back to you. I will let you know. And guess how much I've heard from him since?
Nothing.
You got it.
What did you think when you heard Panetta testify that he told Obama, who happened to be in the White House at the time, when he reported to the president that this compound, this embassy, this annex was under attack, and that he never spoke to the president after that, not once that night?
I didn't hear that till well after the fact.
If I was you, I don't know my
they
anger.
They did not care. My son was a political pawn that they needed at the time, they thought, because they weren't doing their job. And so they sacrificed him and the ambassador and those two wonderful SEALs. They stayed there for hours afterwards, alive.
And the people that got out, it's because those SEALs who were told to stand down went to fight anyway. I mean that's a pretty amazing story of courage. And 8 hours later, they died. There's so many aspects of this, Mr. Smith, that just frustrate me, and I've been trying to get answers like you have been. People that were eyewitnesses to this, none of them have spoken to the media. Not one.
They won't. They won't. They're just told to sit down and shut up, so to speak, and that's their job. And probably this might be what they should do. I don't know.
I think you have a right to know what happened, and I don't like the fact that why did they deny your son's direct request for security before? Why wasn't the president more engaged, and why didn't they send troops who are an hour and a half away that could have been there? Why did they lie about it afterwards? I'd like to know the answer to all those questions.
I was told that the troops were starting out to help. Somebody went against orders, and that they were going to help, and then they were specifically told to stand down. And so they couldn't even come to help. They were specifically told, stand down, do not help. I don't know how good that is, but I've heard that from a couple sources that probably should know.
Can I ask you this question? Now, your son apparently is going to be honored with the Thomas Jefferson Star of Foreign Service sometime in May.
That's correct, May 3rd.
And you have not been contacted by the government? You've not been invited to attend the ceremony?
I got an invitation through my daughter-in-law. She said that I had to go through her for everything. So that's what I was doing. And I did get that invitation. And then I was told just recently that the government is going to pay for her and the two kids to come in from the Netherlands, where they are. They're going to pay for this and their expenses. But, oh, by the way, you're not invited, type of thing. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I'm being facetious. They told they're not going to be able to cover the cost of anybody else. If anybody wants to come to the ceremony, that they have to pay their own way.
Wow. Now, we can allocate all this money, I guess, for the Obama's vacations and Justin Timberlake and so on and so forth and all the parties, and we have money for the president to play golf with Tiger, but we don't have money to bring in the mother of a slain hero from the Benghazi tragedy, which they screwed up because they didn't listen to your son. Let me ask you, is this a problem for you financially? Is it expensive?
All the money I get is on Social Security. That's it.
Would you like to go to the ceremony honoring your son?
Oh, yes, I would.
Well, I'd be glad to pay for it. I'll pay for your plane. I'll pay for your hotel. I'll pay for any transportation, food you need while you're there. How's that?
Thank
you. Would
you
like that?
And for my companion, too, because I can't drive.
Yeah. No, I understand. You can bring whoever you want.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I'm very, very sorry. And we'll make all the arrangements for you. And I think you have a right to be there. And I know your son would probably want you there.
Well, he always told me, always trust a guy with the name of Sean.
Is that what he said? Well, you named him the right way. Did he spell it the right way, S-E-A-N?
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. How old was your son?
He was 34 when he died.
Oh, boy.
I kept him for the first 17 years of his life, and then he went into the Air Force, and they got him the second 17 years. Mm-hmm. And then they screwed up.
Yep. Wow. Now, I understand that his wife apparently has taken a little different take on all of this than you have. Do you think that's why she got invited and that you didn't? Has there been any falling out with you and your daughter-in-law?
I don't know her very well. The only time I met her was in one time they came here to San Diego. Another time I went to visit them in Africa when he was stationed in South Africa. Another time I went to visit him in Montreal when he was stationed there. That's the only time I've ever known her. She seems like a wonderful person, but my contacts with her, I don't know.
Well, that's hard because your son and his wife from the Netherlands had two children, and those are your grandchildren, and I'm sure you'd like to see them occasionally.
Well, they were scheduled to come here to San Diego in the next go-round. I guess they get stationed for 2 years at a time.
Yeah. Do you know who's going to be at this Thomas Jefferson Star for Foreign Service, this award that your son is getting? Do you know which political figures will be there?
I don't know. Whoever wants to step in the limelight at the time and take credit.
Boy, you know.
I'm very bitter. I am very bitter. I am so disappointed in my government for the way they're playing this. What they're playing is politics. And I don't want to know everything that was going on over there. I know it was secret. I know they were doing things that, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, he was stationed in The Hague, and that's where he was.
But you have a right to know the truth. And you have a right, if your son told you, as he did, and he knew that that there was an attack coming, and he warned them, and they did nothing. That means that your son's death could have been prevented.
Yes,
and we have an obligation to every single person that is serving this country that this never happened again. It should never have happened to your son or Ty Woods.
Well, That's the reason I keep opening up my mouth about it. I want this. I want somebody to admit that they did it so that it won't happen again, so that there's safety there. So my God, those guys go out there and they risk their lives, and I know they're happy to do it, and I know they do it, and they know that there's problems going. Everybody told me, well, he knew what could happen. Well, I'm sure he could have, too.
But that doesn't take away the culpability and the blame of the government for not handling this properly. Look, you know, Mrs. Smith, this is frustrating. I've tried to cover this, and it's very frustrating to me.
I know. You won't find the answer. I'm told it's too high up.
Well, because they didn't do right by the people in that embassy, and they didn't do right the night that they were under fire, and they didn't do right in the aftermath of it by lying and covering up. And that to me is, you know, if they get away with it this time, they'll never stop doing it because they know they can get away with it. And innocent people will die needlessly. And that is, you know, I'm glad you're speaking up, and I'm sure this is very painful for you to bring it up and to be reminded of it on a regular basis. But it wasn't that long ago, and
I'm afraid that if I speak too much of it, that I won't get to see my grandkids anymore.
Yeah, well, I
it has to be said now. No, it has to.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold. First of all, it's an honor to talk to you and meet you. I've never spoken to you before, number one. Number two, I'm proud. I know you're proud of your son getting this award.
Only child.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's not – parents should never have to bury
their kids. Take care of me when I get old.
Well, we're gonna try and ease a little of the pain. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up – we'll get you the plane tickets for you and your companion. We'll get you a nice hotel. I assume this is in Washington, right?
Gotten the information.
Okay. When you get the information, we'll hook it all up for you. We'll get you a nice hotel. I'll get a car to drive you around, and I'll get you the plane tickets there and back, okay?
Appreciate that, sir.
All right. Now, when you're in the hotel, I want you to order like a big, expensive steak dinner on me, okay?
Sure, I'll do that.
All right. I'm glad.
I have lobster on the side.
Lobster on the side and a big bottle of wine.
There you go.
All right. Well, God bless you. I'm very sorry for your loss, ma'am, and I really mean that.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. John Sununu's next.
And now, the Sean Hannity Show takes a little time out to list all the great accomplishments of Barack Obama as president so far. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Fairway Ford has increased their inventory selection to over 300 new and used vehicles, all at one convenient location in Canfield. Hi, it's Heather Stevens in the studio with Bob Davis from Fairway Ford. Bob, am I reading this right? A huge selection and 20% off MSRP on every new 2013 Ford Focus and Escape?
That's right. At Fairway Ford, we're taking 20% off MSRP of every 2013 Ford Focus and every 2013 Ford Escape in stock. And we have a fabulous selection, so you'll find that new Ford that you're looking for.
I love my Focus, and the all-new Escape looks great, too, especially when you take 20% off MSRP. And Bob is including remote start, too.
Also, Fairway Ford will pay top dollar for your trade-in, and financing is never a problem. We get over 95% of our customers approved. So check out our huge inventory at fairwayford.us or call 330-533-FORD. Fairway, that's the way we do business.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? then we may be looking for you. We are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Accessible, affordable. Those are the two most popular reasons our students choose Eastern Gateway Community College. Eastern Gateway is one of the fastest growing colleges in Ohio because students recognize this is a great place to get their career prepared or to get transfer bound. We have programs that are in demand in the health, public services, engineering, IT, business, and social services. You can apply at Eastern Gateway Community College by calling 1-800-68-COLLEGE, extension 212, or go on our website, egcc.edu.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Accessible, affordable. Those are the two most popular reasons our students choose Eastern Gateway Community College. Eastern Gateway is one of the fastest growing colleges in Ohio because students recognize this is a great place to get their career prepared or to get transfer bound. We have programs that are in demand in the health, public services, engineering, IT, business, and social services. You can apply at Eastern Gateway Community College by calling 1-800-68-COLLEGE, extension 212, or go on our website, egcc.edu.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Meredith from InfoCision's Newcastle location talks about what makes InfoCision stand out.
Well, if you just ask one of our employees, they'll tell you the people. We pride ourselves on hiring friendly people who care, and we keep them by maintaining a family-focused policies that let our employees balance their work and home lives. We believe that a happy employee is a great employee. That's why we offer our great benefits package, such as immediate health benefits, paid vacation every 6 months, 401k plan with a company match, competitive pay rates. And we also have, including in our wellness plan, an on-site doctor's office and on-site fitness center in all of our locations.
And how can people apply?
They can use our job hotline at 1-800-210-6269. Visit us online at InfoCisionJobs.com and apply there.
This time it's personal. Tune in to News Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3, Afternoons with Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
Real results. It's called Ageless Male, and it's the testosterone supplement that's already shipped over 700,000 bottles. Here's Tony, a real Ageless Male user.
I've tried other things in the past, and you really don't see a difference. Ageless Male, I was able to see the difference in my performance, my libido, as well as my attentiveness at work.
And here's Mike, another satisfied customer.
Since taking Ageless Male, my energy level has gone up. I'm more affectionate, and she likes that. Am I blushing?
Don't settle for inferior testosterone products. Try Ageless Male risk-free to help boost your free testosterone levels, boost energy, and boost libido. For details, call 1-800-861-1381. That's 1-800-861-1381. Call 1-800-861-1381.
Hillsdale College. Here is my professor, Dr. Larry Arn, on natural rights versus entitlements.
America was founded on the idea that human beings are born with natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. A person who holds this view of rights makes no demands on others except that they respect those rights. Today, however, many Americans talk about rights to a college education, state-of-the-art medical care, and even birth control pills. These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To join the national conversation on the Constitution, go to constitutionminute.org.
Mom, I had the best dream!
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because...